Welcome to Tiltcast, episode 131, Licking Your Palms.
Tonight we're going to talk about some Alan Wake once again. We're going to talk about some Dead Island Riptide. We're going to talk about some Stalker and Metro 2033 as a throwback in lieu of the new Metro game coming out right now. So stay tuned. Shut up and press stop. And welcome back to another episode of the Tiltcast, and I am back this week. Hell yeah. It's been a nice Monday evening last time of relaxing, masturbating while listening to you guys talk in the living room.
Why so, would you masturbate while you listen to us talk?
I like the way Earl sounds.
Was it just the bass, like it just rumbled through balls or what?
He has a deep voice that reminds me of saddle leather and cinnamon.
Very sensy.
Very sensy, yes. Anyways, it's like potpourri, but with butt sex. So anyways, so over there we got Jason.
Yeah. I'm not anything important in, but then anyway.
Totally. Over there we got Justin.
Hey.
And over here we have Drew. She's back.
Ha ha! All right.
What the fuck was that?
All right.
That sounds like a courtroom dog getting anal probe.
That was copyright.
And they don't talk. That's like. So, damn it, Bobby. Anyway, so let's go ahead and jump into some trend as well. So, Jason, what have you been doing?
I actually have done nothing but work on my yard.
Really?
Yeah, really. I ended up finding...
So you're playing Plants vs. Zombies?
No. Ended up finding 5 ticks on the dog, so I went to war.
5 tits? No,
I
heard
you tits. Well, you
know,
a lot of
those. Yeah.
Missing a nipple.
Yeah, missing a nipple.
Missing a nipple.
It's another murder.
Yeah, another murder. It's a murder of comedy is what it is. So go ahead with your 5-tit dog.
Right.
5-tit dog.
So I just went to war on my yard every night.
You call him Sink Titlet.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds very tick-tastic.
So, sounds very Mexican.
Well, the dog's old. She's like 8.
Cinco
so
de Tata.
At this point, getting anything like Parvo or anything like that would just...
Parvo sounds like it would be more fun than what it is. You know, it's like...
Right?
I had a friend where they had Parvo and it was the grossest thing in the world.
It's like the word carny. You're like, that sounds fun.
And you're 4 years old and you see your dog shit their guts out.
Or you're 4 years old and you meet your first carny and they have like boils on their hands.
Right.
And they're trying to sell you a diseased monkey. You know, it's like Parvo. You're like, that sounds upbeat. So
right.
That'd be a name. I've never seen a band named Parvo. I've seen one called SIDS.
Like a gutter punk band.
Huh?
Maybe a gutter punk band.
Like, yeah, or like some really weird like German noise where they actually have this just straight up, like they got a chime set that's the only real fucking instrument up there.
And they have
and
a bunch of buzz songs.
Drums and buzz and the timpanis and a chime set. That's
yeah,
the only real thing. It's
that's
like,
the intro
yeah.
for every song.
Yeah. I can totally see that, like Tesla. There we go.
Yeah.
Alright, so what else
we got? Nothing other than fish and Riptide.
Riptide, nice. Is that
finally
it?
Got it beat. Yeah, that's all I've done this week.
Right, we'll jump into that here in a little bit. Justin, what have you been doing this week?
What have I not been doing?
Beating up your phone?
Well, there's that, yeah. I mean, you guys witnessed a little bit of anger there.
Yeah, you threw your phone across the room. I was like, dude just pissed you off, man.
No, it's just my phone pissed me off.
I thought
it was going to
be all emo, going like, she won't reply.
No, it was one of those things where, like, my phone freaks out if there's even a tiny bit of moisture on your hands or my feet aren't properly grounded.
Just
so I had my
licking your hands, then.
Well, I wasn't licking my hands, but I had my feet above the floor. If you don't have both feet on the floor, what are you doing?
That's what you're doing. Just doing the sign signal. Should I do that against the phone?
Just
like that. You like that sound? You like, you know what
I just like
to,
I just like,
you know what that.
Stop it, Trent. That's mine.
Oh, that's gross.
I just like to dip my hand in butter and lick it off.
I like to dip it in butter and put it in the oven for a couple minutes and just lick
just
it
let it
off.
Crisp
yeah.
a little bit and then lick the butter off
it
my hands.
It burns, but it tastes so good.
It smells like French toast.
When you're done, it's so, like, you know, numb from all the MSG. Fucking masturbate with it.
You got a buttercup.
All that stuff. So I like to put my hand into, like, a snake's hole and get as many bugs on it as possible and just put them right into my crotch. So I can just feel like roly-polies. You know? I like for bugs, like roly polies to use.
Which reminds
you
that time you had crabs?
I like to let little ladybugs and roly polies use my dick like a loop. Straight down.
So, aside from my phone fucking up,
so that's like a mile to them because they're so small.
That's a marathon.
Yeah. It's a decathlon. Because it's a deca, it's 100. So, yeah.
100 millimeters is a long ways from
I don't know. Well, what's a decathlon? It's like 100 fucking meters. So, there you go.
Anyways, so yeah, my phone's been fucking up. That pisses me off, but that's not the main thing I did last week. But that happens all the time anyway.
I'd hate for you to spend a whole week on just that.
That would suck.
That's like a Scott thing.
Now, I had a 3-day weekend, so I jumped into some Stalker, got some map better.
The game or real life?
Real life.
Oh, okay.
No, I've had those games forever.
Yeah,
and
I was playing Ted Bundy, the real game.
I had a... So I've had those games for years now, and I started Stalker a long time ago, back in 2000.
Sorry, I know.
Shadow of Chernobyl.
So yeah, the shadow of your girlfriend's like fucking tree or something. Like, that's what it is, like Stalker. Justin's corner.
I know your mother's routines.
I know her routines and her fears, her sleep schedule,
what TV she likes to watch.
I don't even know what the fuck. I think she watches CSI. That's about it. No,
NCIS.
No. Dangerous Minds, I think, is what she watches. Yeah.
How appropriate.
She wants to know where she went wrong.
So, I played 18 hours of Shadow of Chernobyl.
Nice. It's a good game.
And what happened, originally when I started playing that game, I'll get into the review later, but suffice to say, I started playing it right when I started playing Fallout. And I like Fallout immensely better. And it was just the soundtrack.
Yeah.
And Stalker is so much darker.
It's more ambient.
Yeah. And that wasn't the kind of feel I was trying to get out of a Wasteland game, weirdly enough.
Yeah.
I was wanting to get kind of that lighthearted Wasteland humor that Fallout does, and it doesn't have any of that. So when I picked it up, and it doesn't look as good. So when I picked it up originally, I was like, it's not bad. My buddy, I've been borrowing that game now for like 7 years.
Yeah.
Or 6 years from
that's
TJ.
Not borrowing anymore.
Yeah. He's just kind of giving it to me. That's kind of what I do.
We still have his fucking Xbox over here.
Yeah, I know. I didn't give it back.
Yeah.
Sorry, TJ. But, so I've had Stalker for a long time, and then I just purchased it on Steam so I could give him back the game, and then never installed it. So now that we got a fast-ass internet connection, it was a 10-minute download while I made lunch.
33 megs per second.
Yeah, or megabits, but it's... Like the actual download Steam downloads, and obviously it doesn't cap out. Like I got 4.8 megabytes per second, which
awesome.
Is retarded on Steam, especially for this house. So I downloaded that in about 10 minutes. Downloaded the map pack for it because I did some full customization or full mod for it, and did that for that and Call of Pripyat, which was the follow up from it. So those both took me like 5 minutes together.
Nice.
But. Yeah, so I played a lot of that. Played some more Metro 2033, and I'll get into that in a little bit. Watched some movies. Watched a lot of movies. I watched Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yeah, I TiVo'd that. Well, I DVR'd it so you could watch it. I went to go to the theater to see it. So
you guys forgot to tell me.
That was
we went on Labor Day. I think you were at work or something like that.
I would have taken off to see
that.
That was the other thing I did. I finally saw The Hobbit.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
The journey begins.
Yeah. Yeah, the unexpected journey. I like it. I think even though it kind of feels like he's shafting us, breaking it into three movies, there was not a detail missed.
It's funny because my dad has a little bit of inner nerd with him, and growing up, listening to him read those books, then reading those books, like he really knows The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, and anything Tolkien. And so me and him got in an argument. For some reason, I thought Tom Bombadil was in The Hobbit, and apparently he's in. Like
only in the Fellowship.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that. We got into an argument. He's like, no, it's Bjorn. I was like, who the fuck is Bjorn? He's like, no, it's right here on this page. I've been reading this again. It's Bjorn the Shapeshifter. That's the dude. And I was like, well, hats off to you, Dad. I'm glad you're a little bit of a nerd. Aside from shooting guns and working on cars. But, that's one of the things they're missing from the movie. There's a lot of people that have some trouble with that movie because if you watch it, one of the theatrical releases was 3D and it, like, 48 frames a second.
Yeah.
And apparently at 48 frames a second, it's like, have you ever watched a TV that's at like, that runs at 60 hertz or runs at 120 hertz or 240 hertz and it looks like handycam footage? Well, it's like handycam footage in 3D, and apparently people that...
Sounds nauseating.
Yeah, some of the other people that listen to this show that we promote BMF, they were saying, yeah, kind of pissed one of the guys off a lot, which I could see if it was if I was watching it that way. But I watched regular 2D at, you know, 24 frames a second, and I had no problems with it. Aside from it not being quite as good as the other ones, it felt more like a kid's movie than Lord of the Rings series. And truth be told, I mean, The Hobbit...
The Hobbit was that way. And the... You know, it was originally written at, more as a children's novel than anything else.
Teens or whatever.
Yeah. But
it's
as far
like the,
as...
It's kind of like his Narnia Chronicles versus, like, C.S. Lewis's Space Trilogy was obviously written for adults.
Yeah, or like, you know, they read a story.
It's
Mike,
just...
Michael and Day, they read a story.
Kind of like children's
fantasy
with some violence and stuff like that.
Also, it's like Michael and Day's Narnia Story, the original, is basically both films... are actually pulled from that one story, and then there's an extra one that's in there that's basically the completion of it, but it has a little bit of darker stuff in it, like the giant, you know, Yggdrasil, which is the giant insect spider. It's made up of little tiny insects that form a giant beam.
There's some creepy
sucks.
Stuff. There's some creepy stuff in
there. They cut that out of the movie.
Oh wait, no, I'm thinking of Dark Crystal.
Yeah, you're thinking Dark Crystal, yeah, the Gelflings. Yeah.
Dark Crystal, too.
Yeah, the Dark Crystal.
The Skeezix in them, and...
Yeah, the Skeezix and...
Those crazy fucking bird creatures.
Yeah,
well, I think
there is another...
But, you know, the thing was...
Why do you all smile about Neverending Story? Like,
No, I was just thinking. Just the internal dialogue.
The thing
like,
is...
God, these guys are fucking gay. Michael Ende's Neverending Story is one of the best fucking books you will ever read. Better than the Bible.
Anyone who's
a
naysayer about The Hobbit needs to remember you've only touched on like the first third of the novel.
Well, you know, I heard somebody.
You really haven't hit the meat of the novel yet.
There's no potato there.
Well, I got to talk to my mom about it, and she's like, so you think about all the other movies, like you had a strong male lead, Aragorn, what a lot of the ladies liked, and then you don't have that The Hobbit. You have a hobbit, dude with hairy feet, kind of chunky, you know.
Yeah.
He's not a strong male lead, so they got to figure out a way to do that. So they got Thorin, which is a dwarf that basically looks like a dude. He doesn't really look that much like a dwarf, except for the fact that he's got a beard. And he's not chunky. He doesn't look dwarf-like like all the other dwarves. He's a like an attractive male character for to kind of fill that same role that, filled in Aragorn.
Yeah.
And so they had to go into his backstory to try to lengthen that whole thing. And, of course, it's kind of a cash cow. I mean, they really could do it in a really long single movie or two normal-sized movies.
He also approached it from, which I thought was smart. I applaud him for it. Wasn't necessarily the best choice. Not for everyone, but I can see why he did it. And that was start the movie out with Bilbo starting to write the book and starting to introduce Frodo into the story. By telling Frodo the original story was a smart choice considering he did The Lord of the Rings first. So a lot of the people who went to see this movie weren't the ones who read all the novels like us.
Well,
they're kids who
it.
Watch the movies, and that's their only basis for that universe.
Well, like, people in their mid-20s, they're like mid-30s, which is basically this age group here. I mean, that kind of was like a big staple in the late 80s, early 90s. The Hobbit, it also was big in like the 70s. Like, every 20 years, it becomes big again, you know?
Yeah.
So, that's, of course, it's kind of the basis of a lot of fantasy, like D&D and everything else you can think of is based on fucking Tolkien lore for the most part. Anyways, I digress.
I digress.
I digest.
I would say Abe Lincoln Vampire Hunter is kind of cool.
Yeah, no, it's really
it's
retarded. Stupidly.
It's fucking retarded, but it's great.
It is, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Like, that boy has some moves with the axe, I'm just going to say.
Yeah.
Like, there are some fantastic fight scenes with that axe.
With the hollow, lightweight axe.
Yeah.
Because nobody can fucking swing an axe like that.
There's this guy, I asked him what his favorite movie was, and he said Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. He was dead serious. Like, he championed that decision, too. He's like, I like the costume design, I like the acting, and I was like, are you fucking kidding?
None of that's good.
No.
No,
he's like, that's the best movie ever made.
The good thing about that is it's so fucking retarded. That's
yeah.
the best thing about it.
Yeah.
That's one of those things where the comic is what it is, but the movie, I knew it was going to have to be retardedly stupid to actually be good. like Bubba Hotep retarded.
Yes. Bubba Hotep's awesome.
Bubba Hotep with this, but actually were able to make it good in the fact that it was so fucking stupid.
Well, like the fight scene where they're on the horses.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Just how ridiculous it was. But you know, it's fun to watch.
It's entertaining.
It's one of those movies that you can sit down and turn your brain off to watch it.
It's like Rupert Sewell, isn't it? He plays Adam, the lead bad guy. He's a great actor. He was one that you'd know, Dark City.
Yeah.
He plays the main guy in Dark City. Great movie.
Yeah.
Love Dark City. But no, he's actually good in the movie. He's one of the only guys in the movie that's actually a real actor. So you're like, I have respect for him because he can actually act. Has one of the McBoyles.
It has one of the McBoyles.
McBoyles.
It has Ramona Flowers in it, too.
Yeah, I don't like that chick. I'm sorry. Yeah, she was okay in Scott Pilgrim, but I just do
well,
not
she smiles
care
more
much.
In this.
I don't care. I just don't like. I don't like that actress.
She's
very
not
much.
Very great, but
she's
just easy on the eyes.
She always plays the same character over and over again.
Yeah.
Well, she wasn't. Does. She wasn't.
It's
monotone.
Like Johnny Depp.
She wasn't monotone.
I'm not even gonna go. She
wait,
close
wait,
enough.
No. You can't compare to Johnny Depp. At least Johnny Depp has different layers to the same character.
Only
this is
Tim
exactly
doesn't
the
have
same
his dick
character.
That he actually does something different. The only time that Tim Burton was like, okay, you know what, Johnny, we're gonna let you do something else, but you're gonna play Ed Wood. So just watch Ed Wood, and you'll know how to act. It was the only time where he got to play somebody different, and it was some guy who actually.
He's basically
lived.
Been doing the same character since fucking. That Las Vegas movie.
Fear and Loathing.
No. Completely
Hunter S. Thompson
different.
Is totally different. If you watch Where the Buffalo Run, which is Bill Murray's take,
he just takes
Thompson.
A more comical version of that and puts it into Pirates. I mean, that's basically all he's been doing for.
Well, Jack Sparrow.
15 years.
He's a rum drunk idiot.
Yeah, he's been doing
so.
Jack Sparrow in every movie since.
No. I agree. No, he has. But it's like he has been taking. He's been taking like if you look at the Rum Diaries, which actually is Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah,
that
it's
is,
another.
It's supposed to be Hunter S. Thompson's second.
I didn't
character.
Watch
again,
it. I was just like, I don't
it's
know,
actually
I don't
a good
Johnny
movie. Benicio del Toro does.
It is.
Sorry, no, Giovanni Ribisi does a fantastic fucking job.
It is a good movie.
It is hilarious, but that is supposed to be Hunter S. Thompson's character, so that's why it's the same fucking character. But Jack Sparrow is what he is. But when you look at stuff like From Hell, Sweeney Todd, fucking Sleepy Hollow,
The Ninth Gate,
it's all the same. But it's like Keanu fucking Reeves.
Hey, have you seen that he's those trailers for Lone Ranger?
No.
And he's playing like some Indian
he's
chief.
The Indian, yeah.
Basically playing Jack Sparrow, the Indian chief.
It's like Charlton Heston being cast as an Indian, you know? You're just like,
here's
what Charlton Heston's going to play a fucking Indian. Anyway, but it's just one of those things.
But you know what? I will still go and see that movie just for the simple fact I want to see how much further Disney can fuck up my childhood.
Yeah, no shit. But with The Lone Ranger, I'm not interested at all. With Dark Shadows, which one, I loved the TV show Dark Shadows when I was growing up. I used to watch it all the fucking time.
You know that vampire soap opera?
That was Dark Shadows.
Yes.
I watched that as a kid. And
but
that
see,
was like my favorite
that,
show.
That was the thing though, with Dark Shadows.
It's very serious.
That vampire character did not come in until, what was it, like the
way
end
later.
Of second season?
Way later. But it was a very serious, dark show, and then they turned it into this comedic bullshit. It's like taking Dragnet.
Yeah.
Okay, I like the Dan Aykroyd and Tom Hanks Dragnet movie because it's a parody of Dragnet, it's supposed to be, and they made it that way, obviously. This, they're just like, oh, we're going to do this movie called Dark Shadows. They didn't even really bring up the original at all. And I was like, one, how can you spit on it by not even bringing it up, and two, how can you fuck it by actually destroying the entire thing and turning it into the Addams Family? That's what they did.
Which is basically what they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the Addams Family.
Yeah.
Raul Julia kicks ass.
I like the Brady Bunch movies from the 90s.
Oh, which had all the huge sexual overtones in it.
Yeah, they're all parodies.
Yeah.
I like that.
Those are funny, but they were already funny to begin with. So anyways, that's what you did. You watched The Vampire Hunter.
Yeah, and then played a lot of video games.
Nice. All right. Drew?
I finally got my guitar restrung. I have like a Floyd Rose tremolo, so it's like a bitch to restring, but I finally got that done.
Nice.
And then I hosted at the comedy club last week.
Okay.
Yeah, so I actually MC'd. I'm moving on up.
Nice.
That's pretty
comedy
good.
Club.
Yeah.
I know a guy who goes to the comedy club and performs.
What's his name?
I don't remember.
Oh.
He is horrible. But I think his whole thing is that he's supposed to be horrible. but he smells really horrible.
Do you know a guy named Danny? Wait, I'll just say it on the break.
Okay.
he's got glasses. A little bit older than me, big comic book nerd, but he does. I know he does comedy up there.
I'm not sure.
I thought there was somebody else from work that actually did it up there.
I don't know any.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah.
Nice. Alright, so that's all you've been doing?
Pretty much.
Stringing guitars
and hosting comedy clubs, and then this week I'm supposed to host at a bar. So.
Nice.
Busy, busy life.
Nice. I have 2 weeks because I was off last week.
Oh, didn't we go? Did we go out with Stretch last week? No, that was the weekend before.
That's what we talked about. That I think.
Yeah,
we did. Watched Jurassic Park 3D.
Yeah, that's right.
I watched that the other week. Yeah, because I wasn't here last week, so I did that the other weekend. Pretty good. My only bitch was is that little Mr. DNA cartoon part
wasn't 3D.
Not in 3D. And anytime they would pan back to show they switch over to show that Dr. Grant or whatever, or Malcolm, you know, that was not in 3D either. It's like they would not let it go back and it's just all in 2D. And at that point, I was like, what the fuck? How hard would it be just to, you're paying the money, you're going to make kudos bucks.
You would think
off of
Mr. DNA would have been one of the easiest things in that movie to pull 3D.
They'd have to redo the whole thing probably, but I mean, when they look at how much money they've made off Jurassic Park, not to mention how much they're going to make off a re-release on 3D, they can afford
to make Mr. DNA
3D.
They released it in theaters again for two weeks in 3D, and to anticipate the Blu-ray release.
Yeah, and it pissed me off that that was not in 3D. But other than that, the 3D areas in it were actually pretty good.
The 3D dinosaurs were pretty good.
And it looks like they touched up the lighting a little bit, too, here.
So it was a good conversion. It didn't look like complete and utter crap.
No, it felt like they transferred into 3D, but they also touched things up. Like, the lighting on the T-Rex and the Raptor seems a little bit more darker, so it blends in better. It looked really good. Yeah, it was very fun to watch.
It was a fun way to test out your TV, too.
Yeah. So it worked very well. So I did that. I watched Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, finally.
Yeah,
good movie.
I want to watch it again.
I read part of
good
the book.
Good movie.
And I read the book some time ago, and most of it, and I kept meaning to fucking watch the movie, and I just finally got bored enough. I was like, I'm going to watch this. And fucking awesome.
Can you believe the cast?
Colin Firth, Gary Oldman, John Hurt.
Not put
Hurt.
Together a better cast for that movie.
It was perfect, and especially for the time era.
How
just evenly paced the film is. It's not fast paced, it's very even. It's a mystery movie trying to figure out who this mole is inside the British Central Intelligence. So
did it take place in the 40s?
No, it takes place like 60s.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, like
Cold
right
War.
At the end of the 60s.
Cold War, okay.
Cold War stuff.
Yeah, it's like right near the end of the 60s, the 70s. So, but it's basically the death of the old way of the British intelligence and the new way, and that's kind of where it kind of folds into and how things in that transition can sneak in and fuck everything up. Really great movie. Gary Oldman fucking rocked. Yeah, he did such a good job. And John Hurt, for the time he was in it, I love John Hurt. V for Vendetta and 1984. Either way, I did that. Watched Mama again. Because I went to the theaters to go see that. The Toro. I still like that movie a lot. I don't care.
Is that scary?
There's one part that actually made me jump, but I think it's because I was really tired in the theater, because there's this chick, and she's standing in this
don't ruin it.
Well, no, she's just standing in this doorway, and you see this thing in the room behind her come falling down the ground, and you know what it is, and you're just like, oh, okay, so it's behind her, then, without really doing a camera change, it's just, boom, it's like right behind her, you know, like that, and you're just like, whoa, shit, so you don't expect it, you expect it to do something else, for it to change scenes. Because that's usually the methodology they use, is to change scenes to give you different angles. They don't do that. And I was like, that's actually, I like that. They kind of freak me out a little bit.
I just noticed, like, most of his films, like Guillermo del Toro, they make scarier trailers than they do the actual movie.
Well, his movies are a mixture of, it's fairy tale meets horror. And that's why I like him. Like, we've had that discussion with Devil's Backbone and Kronos. And
he did The Orphanage,
right? Yeah, El Orfanato is one of my, he didn't actually direct that one. He was a producer.
Okay.
But you can tell his
touch was there.
Same thing with Mama. He didn't direct it. He presented and produced it. It's a great movie. It's really good. It's a good mixture of fantasy and horror. And they did a good job.
I like Hellboy. I like Hellboy quite a bit.
Yeah. He did the original Hellboy. He also did Blade 2, which is the only Blade movie I like. So that's because it was actually good. So,
yeah.
The rest of them suck.
Well, you know, the first one was all right. The first one is still watchable, yeah, even to this day. But the third one, just... Yeah.
Third one blows it. Part two, though, with the leech
vampires, yes,
kicks ass. And that's how they should have done, like, I Am Legend, where they had a human actor with, you know, CGI prosthetics on him, rather than just all CGI, so... But other than that, I didn't play too much gaming. I did a Stephen King kick, where I watched, like, Langoliers. Nice. Bag of Bones. I finally got to watch Bag of Bones. Silver Bullets. The Dead Zone. I just went through a whole Stephen King thing.
Nice.
I plan on watching It this week at some point when I find time. Because it's been forever.
You know, I can't...
It's scary when you're a kid, but it's not...
Yeah.
The book is... The book,
I can't sit through it anymore.
Well, I remember reading the book, and that's actually the last Stephen King book I ever read because it pissed me off so much because I got so tired of Stephen King's writing. When he gets to the story, it's good, but there's all this other shit he throws in.
That's like reading
consequential.
Like in Stephen King's It, there's this whole intro part where it's about, oh, it was the summer, and we were down by the police station, and the police were talking about, oh, I picked up these two queers down at the bridge blowing each other. Ah, and you're like, how does this tie into the story? And it doesn't. It doesn't.
Well,
there's every other page.
Like,
there's this long two page.
Well, it was that way with Tommyknockers. You read that novel. It takes until a good 2/3 into the book before you really
start to figure out what's going on. See, I call the Tommyknockers the floppy knockers.
After that horrible movie, it really is.
Yeah. Well, I came up with it with a parody sex film called The Floppy Knockers.
Well, I mean, he was so fucked up when he wrote all those books.
Yeah.
You know,
he doesn't even remember writing Cujo.
The one I still wish they would do a miniseries for, like Rose Red, and do a good justice to it.
Bag of Bones.
Oh, I love Bag of Bones.
Yeah, but did you watch the movie? The two-part is really good.
I'd love to see him do Dark Tower.
They actually are supposed to be doing Dark Tower, for all the nerds out there. We talked about that once before, some time ago. They announced they were going to do the Dark Stranger, the Dark Tower series thing.
Nice.
I think it's movies. They're going to do, I think...
Isn't there like a whole saga, though?
Three or four of them. Yeah, I think they're going to do three or four of them all together.
Like seven books, or...
Yeah, and they're just going to just unleash them out there, because it's been a while since they've actually had a real, like,
Stephen King
release film that...
Yeah.
Like, his last ones, like, Storm of the Century, was actually pretty badass.
I did
read Storm of the Century.
Was Mist a Stephen King novel?
Mist was actually a Stephen King short story.
That's my favorite movie.
Frank Darabont turned into, which Frank Darabont
later
on did.
Yeah.
But Frank changed the ending.
Yeah, he
changed
it.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, he changed it out. But it's also one of those things where you watch that, and they actually have a black... Like, you watch the black and white
version. The black
version
and white version is awesome.
Because I bought the special edition DVD just for it.
Yeah.
And Frank Darabont, who did The Walking Dead, who took that and turned it into a series and pitched it, you'll notice that there's actors that are in The Walking Dead that are also in The Mist, like Dale is in The Mist, as well as Carol is in The Mist.
Yeah.
It's actors that he liked working with. And also he did the black and white version of The Mist, and he wanted to do the black and white version.
But I agree with Stephen King. His ending... was better than Stephen's ending.
I never read the
original
Mist.
Short.
I never read The Mist. What was the ending in that one? It's been like a long time, people. So
I'm gonna address this in a little bit.
Yeah. What was it? The dad ended up being the only one left alive.
In the movie, he shoots everybody,
yeah,
and then he gets out of the car and says, he tells him, I'll just figure something out as to how to kill himself. So he gets out of the car and starts screaming for the monsters to come kill him, and then a tank rolls up, and it's the whole army taking out everything. Yeah, and you're like, way to punch it out there, fucking Darabont. So, how did it end in the book?
I'm trying to remember. I'll have to look it up. I remember it was drastically different.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Kubrick's The Shining is better than the book.
No, it's not.
I think so.
In The Shining, that was actually Stephen King's big piss-off, was because in The Shining, he really wanted to show a family being torn apart. And Kubrick didn't give a shit about that, so he cut out all the little things here and there that really would have gone towards story building. And that's really odd for Kubrick, because when you look at something like 2001, he likes to use metaphors and show the backstory without really telling you the backstory. And King got really pissed off about it, and at that point he said, from now on I choose who directs my movies, I choose who produces, all that stuff. And given the fact that King was so fucking popular at the time, coming from nowhere to releasing Carrie and then Salem's Lot and all that crap, his books were like selling faster than he could actually write them. They went ahead and gave him what he wanted, and then they let him direct Maximum Overdrive, which is the last one that he should have ever done. I think that was the last one he did. But he still keeps that credit where he cameos and everything. So. But yeah. I do like the Shining film, though. I do.
Yeah.
Oh, the film is classic, but the book was so much better.
Yeah. But anyways, other than that, I reinstalled Alan Wake because I got in the mood because I was on a Stephen King kick. I was like, well, I might as well play Alan Wake. So, speaking of our internet speed, I was installing Alan Wake, watching an IMX concert from France, and downloading a movie all at the same time, and I had like 3.5 per second on the fucking Steam. Plus, my download speed on my video was going, I think, at 1.2 or something. And my stream video for IMX was pretty much just already done before I even got 10 minutes into it. And that was on YouTube. So, I was very happy. So, but anyways,
it's a good purchase.
Yeah. So anyways, I went ahead and played through Alan Wake again. The entire game plus the two DLCs. Just went all the way through it. And
you did that all day Sunday, didn't you?
Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't feeling good this weekend, so I didn't want to do anything. But I forgot I really love that game. The story is just badass. And you're borrowing it from me right now. I do suggest you buy the two DLCs.
Okay.
Because they're like 450 points a piece, I think. But they continue the story beyond the end of the game and help you kind of figure stuff out a bit more. And then they have American Nightmare, which is a standalone they released that's actually really good too. So.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Here's what it was. On their way to breaking it for the car.
Oh, yeah.
Ollie got killed.
Yeah, he gets killed in the movie.
Yeah. And the rest of them actually get away and find, like, the entirety of New England is filled with monsters.
Well, that's kind of what that happens in the movie, that they're driving around.
But
no military shows up.
No military shows up. Nobody sacrificing.
See, that would have been a better ending. That would have been a much better ending.
I just liked it when he started seeing the really big monsters.
Yeah, really huge one. That's cool. So, I like this is very Half-Life.
That's what I was going to say. It reminded me of Half-Life.
Reminds me of Half-Life and H.P. Lovecraft, which
are
two great things to mix together. Well, so,
speaking of that, Stalker.
Yes. I think that's all I did. Is it? Let me think. Yeah. That's all I did. There's probably other shit, but I don't care. I really just don't care. So,
I
jerked off a couple times.
Hey, nobody gives a shit.
Yeah. I gave two squirts.
That's expected, though.
Yeah, I know it's expected. Hey! I'm a swinging bachelor.
Both hands?
Yeah. Swinging past my knees.
So, you're talking about Lovecraft and the mist and everything else. Stalker's really heavily influenced by a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Like you're talking about the split face vampires.
Yes.
They have something called bloodsuckers that have that same kind of ability.
Mm-hmm.
They go invisible, but they also have like these tendril mouths that open up and then like grab a hold of your face.
Yeah.
That are really, really, really fucking tough.
Something like the leech zombies in Blade 2, that would make me shit myself. If I saw that.
You know? They kind of appear at really random spots, which really suck.
Mm-hmm.
But basically what it does, it starts you off and really it's... I guess I'm not going to really spoil anything, but it doesn't matter. People should play it. I think it's one of those games that flew under the radar that people really should play. Especially now that THQ's gone.
Yeah.
It was a THQ...
purchased.
Well, and it's, again, one of the reasons I originally avoided it. I was like, man, I got all these games that look so much better.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't even run at max resolution on my computer. That sucks.
What did they put out some new packs and stuff for it?
Yeah, let's talk about that earlier. Like, there's a mod pack. It's like called Stalker Complete 2009. And somebody took it and completely retextured the entire game.
Nice.
Including some of the sound effects, some
Labor
of the music.
Of
well, there's some Eastern European game designers that got together that really liked the game, and they redid the game, basically.
Nice.
So it looks like a game from, like, say, 2011 or 2012. It looks like something you play on PS3. Nice. So it looks really good, especially for as dated as that game is.
Not like Skyrim with its patches, but maybe Skyrim when it came out.
Easily,
yeah.
There's a lot of really good bump mapping in it. There's a lot of really... they did a lot of HDR lighting in it, and they redid the sky boxes, so the skies actually look like real sky, which is crazy.
They don't, like, circle down and around. They actually look like they go on forever.
Yeah, they've got, like, moving clouds. They got, like, better lighting from, like, even the moon and things like that.
Oh, the particles and everything. You get...
Yeah, like, they redid all the particle effects and things like that. And so it's really crazy looking at it now. Like, it looks like Metro 2033 on max settings.
One of the biggest things that pisses me off in games is graphs.
They redid all the graphs.
So does it all, like, does it do the thing, like, does it do the Borderlands thing where you walk up to it and you can watch it spin?
That's a sprite thing that id's really famous for. Did that on a lot of games, and so did Gearbox did that on a lot of games.
Yeah, I just don't like it very much.
No, it pisses me off, too. They actually have real bushes and things like that.
So their bushes are full?
Their bushes are full.
No. Yeah, I like the Gearbox id stuff. When it's at a distance, it looks really good because it has that nice cell shading. But whenever you're walking around, like, if you drop weapons down because you're going through your inventory, you're like, oh, I didn't mean to drop that. And you're like, you're trying to go around this bush to see shit.
And it's always the same thing.
So note, like, to all you single women out there, Trent likes a nice full bush.
Which I firm shade, but, you know. I like hairless cats.
Like buckwheat, man, and a leg lock.
Actually, was it somebody, well, my project manager posted a video on my Facebook this morning. I was late going to work. And I show up at work. He's like, yeah, I was going to call you about 10 if you didn't show up, but at 9:30 I posted something on your Facebook wall. And I was like, what'd you post? He posted this video and says, this reminded me of you because you said you like to see women's kitties or something like that. And I was like, it's a cat video of a cat fucking with two geckos. He's pawing at this one gecko and it walks away, and the next one's, like, just right next to him, just staring at him. And the cat just says he starts to walk towards the gecko, and then the gecko, the one behind him, starts walking up by him. And the cat, like, sees it out of the corner of his eye and just flips the shit over and just starts freaking the fuck out. I was like, why would you post this on my wall? Why?
I guess just giving you shit?
I like cat videos, I will admit.
So, anyways, the game.
So, you must love Grumpy Cat.
Oh, fucking. Oh, God, what's it? Tartar Sauce?
Yeah,
his real name. I fucking love Grumpy Cat, man. We found Grumpy Cat when it first came around. I like that he does commercials now. Yeah, he charges $10,000 just to make appearances, like at South by Southwest.
Geez.
That cat's making bank. So, thanks for interrupting, Justin. Go ahead, Justin.
You're welcome.
It's all right. I'll just interrupt everybody else.
Grumpy Cat.
I am a Grumpy Cat.
Yeah, you're too nice for it.
No, so the game reminds me a lot of like Fallout meets Doom. Mm-hmm. Like, it's got a really good atmosphere. It's really, really good with that. It's really open-ended, too. And, like, you don't really level up. You find artifacts that adjust your stats. So it does the whole thing, like, you get in radiated areas, and then, you know, the Geiger counter starts counting off and, you know, freaking out. And then you get irradiated, you go take medicine for that, blah, blah, blah. But more so than that, like, the game is just basically a shooter, but a really open-ended shooter. Like, it's like you got a shitload of missions, and then you just follow up on those missions, and you got a central plot that you're kind of going through. But the thing that kind of gets me is, like, it's the game starts and you're, like, in a big open area. And all these areas are really huge. But, like, as the game progresses, you basically go into dungeons. Like, you're, like, right now I'm searching these different research laboratories for some files on a guy that I'm chasing. I'm chasing a stalker. Stalkers are people that, like, it's an alternate reality universe of, like, current day. So it's like if Chernobyl, like, really fucked up and blew up, and, like, not that it didn't, but it just, like, it melted down and really fucked everything up.
If it had time to get everybody out of there, and if the whole place pretty much just...
Well, like, it's, like, it caused a nuclear winter across the entire world, and I guess this big area, the Soviet Union cordons off and says nobody can go over here. Well, while they do that, like, all sorts of things start mutating and things like that, so you get all these crazy-ass creatures, the people are all fucked up, you got zombies in the game, you got... like the creature, like the bloodsucker I was talking about, you got a poltergeist that I ran into. The poltergeist is an invisible creature that, like, shoots fire, which is kind of weird. But, so, like, I ran into this research facility, and I get down, like, in the depths of the research facility. There's no lights, of course. I'm just using my flashlight. And, like, I start having random barrels, like, thrown at me. Like, random objects start, like, hurling through the air, and I guess it's called a controller. Or no, that's not the controller. I don't remember what
that
it is.
That sounds more like a poltergeist.
But yeah, so, like, I'm just running around and this kind of shit's, like, going on. And then my guy passes out because, like, something fucked up happens. And then, like, I run into a shitload more monsters. And it gets really crazy doom. Like, I ran into a Keiko demon, basically, in the bottom of this thing. And I had to fight for my life with my shotgun and my machine gun and everything else. And because it's so moody and they do such a good job of the sound design and the atmosphere, like, it had me on edge.
Nice.
Well, like, it's 3 in the morning on Saturday night, and I'm like...
You hear a gunshot outside?
Well, no, not quite. I went to bed right before that happened.
Yeah,
we had a murder
yeah.
around the corner, which sucks.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I was playing that. And I probably just didn't hear because of all the gunfire from my guns.
That's what I think is why I didn't hear it.
But, yeah, so I played that. I played a shitload of that, like 18 hours worth. And then I got back into Metro. Got to a point that's really hard. Metro looks really good, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the differences between the two. Like, I guess I'm on a Russian FPS kick. Because, like, with Stalker, it's kind of cool because everybody talks in Russian and then you get subtitles. And everybody plays guitar. Like, everybody that, like, settles down at a camp, they play these crazy, like, Russian folk songs and sing
yeah.
Russian. But, they kind of do the same thing in Metro, which is weird. So I guess maybe that's a Russian thing.
Mm-hmm.
But so Metro, it's very linear. You don't have missions per se. You trade, everything's traded with, the currency is bullets. So you find like Russian ammunition, then the Russian, or like military grade ammunition, you use that to buy things, or you can use it in your gun. But in Stalker, you just have currency, you have rubles. Metro, though, is like you have a set series of weapons, like you have a slot for a knife, a slot for an assault rifle, a slot for a shotgun, a slot for a grenades. In Stalker, you have a slot for a pistol, a slot for a shotgun or a rifle, a slot for grenades and your knife, and then all your meds and everything else you can hotkey. So, but it's not open or not close like Metro is. Metro is very much like a very linear path. It is a shooter with a lot of horror undertones. And I actually think Metro is probably a little bit scarier than Stalker is in points. Just because it's a more modern game, but there's some really cool parts. The part I'm stuck on right now, I'm sneaking through this tunnel and I found a pair of night vision goggles. And so I'm like sneaking under an entire enemy camp, like with night vision goggles in the middle of this like irradiated sewer pipe. So I don't know. I mean, just the two games themselves are really, really good. Like surprisingly good, and I really hate that I overlooked them.
Yeah. Well, I remember there was a time where I borrowed them. Where I borrowed Stalker, and I have Metro on Steam.
You really should go through it. I think you'd enjoy the shit out of it.
No, I started Stalker, and I was going through Stalker. Metro, I played Metro. That's why I want to buy Metro last night, because it's a fun... It looks
like
a badass.
Really solid-ass game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
like
2033 was solid.
Yeah. That's why I want to get Metro last night.
Well, you know
Metro
what I'm talking about. I'm in that second bandit
yeah.
game with, like, going underneath the train
yeah.
tracks. That's where I'm at right now.
And I'm going to buy the new Metro. I'm just... probably gonna wait because
well, it's only
$45,
which is why I picked it up.
No, no, but I have other expenses for my
yeah, your
camping
trip
and all that stuff. So
I can't. Yeah. It releases in like
a few hours,
a couple hours. Yeah, I'm gonna
yeah.
probably play that after we're done.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's a Metro again, very linear, but a very solid FPS with some RPG elements.
Mm-hmm.
Just you know, the trade and everything else is kind of RPG, but Stalker very much an RPG.
Okay.
Like I started up Call of Pripyat the other day and. Just to look at it and see what was going on. Unfortunately, I kind of spoiled the ending of the other game by playing that. But,
yeah,
yeah, that is surprisingly solid. I really wish I hadn't overlooked it. I'm not going to give a rating to it or anything else. I'm just going to say if you like that whole like wasteland appeal without the humor,
mm-hmm.
and you like something that's really bleak and you like something that's like very survival-based because, well, Stalker has a health bar and you got to eat. Like, you can go to sleep and you have crazy dreams and you wake up and you're hungry, but... there's definitely a difference between the two, but that overall mood is very much the same. They're both very bleak games. But I really enjoy the shit out of Stalker.
Nice. Right.
So
that's
I wish I'd have gotten more into Blood Dragon, but I was more into a less cheesy mood.
Nice. So that's your thing. What about you and Riptide? How have you been doing with that?
I have beat it. It is officially just more Dead Island all the way through.
Nice.
Won't ruin any of the story, but I don't know. I had had some issues with some of the enemy classes they added. Seemed a little too hard for an additional enemy class when they had some of them that were already so hard. Like the suiciders.
It's like they start you off as suiciders, like, what, half an hour into the game, and, like,
yeah.
If you don't have any ranged weapons, you gotta throw shit at them.
Yeah.
I lost one of my better weapons doing that.
But, you know, it's an even more solid game from a technical standpoint than the first one was.
Well, that first release, it was really, really, really... really buggy.
Yeah, but it seemed like with this one, still, the mechanics were smoother. It didn't feel so choppy in some of the combat situations. As the first game, you know, you really got fucked if you ended up with four or five zombies there.
I still run away with
some in some situations. It was a little bit easier to get out of those gang up situations in this one.
Yeah. the gang bangs.
Yes.
The one that I don't like is I don't like the drowner. I had told you about that off the show, but the drowner gets on my nerves. That's actually what's holding me back from playing it again.
The drowner is very much that addition I'm talking about not being so hard to the point that you can't take care of it, but being hard enough that you added an annoying element to the game.
So, for those who are listening, you're basically dudes that are floating face down that get up and run like the infected through water.
Yes.
And they grab onto the back of your boat and all sorts of shit. It's pissed me off.
Try to pull you out of your boat. It's horrible. So, but all in all, I'd still give it a solid 3.5 just from a technical standpoint. It's still a solid game to play.
Are you playing on Xbox?
Yeah.
How are the load times? Because that was one of the problems with the original, that the load times would take forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The load times were shorter. They were shorter, but I think a lot of the load time problems with the original one was, think how many patch jobs they did in that first week.
When it first came out, it was the load times were kind of unbearable. On PC, it loads pretty fast, depending on the computer, but it does load fast.
It loads pretty quick on PC. I got it on PC, Jason. I was on Xbox.
Yeah, no, I have it on PC. I got rid of my Xbox copy after I beat it, But it's just the load times were kind of silly. It's kind of like Fallout New Vegas when it first came out.
Jesus
Christ.
Those
load times were so stupid because the game was just glitched here and there, but the load times were so dumb.
Yeah, but that's true of a lot of those games.
It.
Like Skyrim, if you play that on Xbox and it's not installed, Jesus Christ.
Well, they fixed it with a patch. Yeah, they fixed it with a patch, though, where they're like, okay, now it's...
No, they did fix it with a patch because when I went back to play Skyrim, I said, I'm not going to fuck with installing it because I don't want to wait 2 hours.
Well, the problem is
I'm just going to play it, and the load times were fixed.
And well, the reason why, if I remember reading, I think it was something to do with they were loading elements that were way off further in that open area that they could have backloaded near the beginning when you first go into the level. They could have just loaded some shit further off.
Yeah.
And so they basically broke down the management on it so they would load what was necessary right here and then just load out from there, kind of like how something like Borderlands or even Dead Island even does it, to where as soon as you get in the level, things start actually the textures start applying.
Yeah,
and pops start loading. Yeah. And that's what the problem with New Vegas was, is they're trying to load everything all at once. It was just fucking
killing. I've run into some loading issues with Stalker. Like, it's not that it loads slow. It's anytime you get into an area where I have a cache of weapons, because you don't have like a bank or anything, you just have areas where you can just store shit.
Yeah.
Like, it takes about 25 seconds. You just run along and then you hit a certain area and then, it's loading shit, and then you move forward.
Well, it's probably trying to load all your weapons, what you have, so it's trying to remember all that.
Bottom line, not to ruin the story either, the story's still interesting.
Yep.
Still fairly solid.
You were using the guy with the hammer, right?
Yeah.
Who
do you voodoo?
You said MacB?
Yeah.
MacB.
Yeah.
MacB. It's Logan, MacB, and then I never remember the two girls' names.
So, you know, it's still a solid game. If you're up for more Dead Island, you're up for more Left 4 Dead, you're up for more of that type of game, still go ahead and pick it up. You're still going to enjoy it.
Nice.
Just take your time in that first area and set yourself up. Don't rush things, or in that, or that first couple hours is going to kill your game experience.
Yeah.
So, do you, how many hours do you put into it so far?
8, 10, somewhere in there.
Okay, well, that's fair. You probably got a pretty decent idea of how it plays at this point.
Yeah.
Nice, nice. Graphically, how's it compared to the original? Is it better graphics? Better looking. Now that you've had time to look at it,
felt
for a while.
Like the same, but again, just smoother. It
That's kind of what I noticed when I played it on PC. It looks the same. It's just it loaded faster. It was more. It was optimized.
So that's what they were.
It's
about
optimized. It's so. The lighting may be better. Mm-hmm. You know,
I think they were trying to do originally when they were showing the alpha stuff for it. The alpha looked like Dead Island 1, and they said when we're done and the actual, you know, the launch build comes out, the final build, they said that they were going to have better reflection on the water, better light refraction, better lighting, better shadows.
Lighting, better shadows. Mm-hmm.
And better line definition.
You know, there were certain elements, certain things across the beach in the first one that you would see and you'd like, that shouldn't be there. That shouldn't be textured that way. There's none of that in this one.
No,
the only thing I had a problem with is they reused a lot of the assets. Like, a lot of the weapons are very similar. I didn't find a whole lot of new weapons. Obviously, I'm not as far into it as you are. And then, of course, you're reusing 4 characters and you're adding a 5th.
Yeah.
Because the 2 girls, the 2 guys.
Logan and Magby, or Samby. Is it
Samby?
Samby.
Samby. And then
Aya and Aya or something. I can't remember.
Yeah.
And then they added a new character.
I always just played the flight attendant chick. The assassin chick, the one who looks like a flight attendant, the Asian one. She has melee.
Oh, yeah, she
was throwing stuff and abilities and really good.
Well, Logan had the throwing ability.
She had just knives. That was it.
Yeah, bladed weapons were her specialty.
Her rage, dude, whenever I would fucking rage out on her, it's just deadly as shit. It's really bad. And, Samby, I didn't like playing as much because he's just. I usually like melee characters, but he just. I don't know. He was too much of a heavy, I think, in my mind. He used lighter weapons, which I prefer to use like a machete. I don't like to use a giant mace or the hammers and stuff.
That was the reason I chose him, though, because my wife always goes for the smaller, faster type characters, like the chick with blades is the one she used.
You give her machetes, man, and she's deadly as shit.
I picked someone who was going to complement that more so.
Oh, yeah, and her rage ability was shooting. That's why I went
with her. It was sharp shooting.
Yeah, because you got the best of both worlds here. You got this great melee, which uses nice light weapons like a machete or small diving knives, and then you jump in to your shooting, and you can sit there and pinpoint like all these different guys and just fucking shoot them one by one. It doesn't waste any of your ammo, and that's the best part. So I was like, all right, sweet. Fucking hell yeah. Got her like level 50 and then started with Samby, which I didn't like. So.
But it's still very much Dead Island, bottom line.
We're going to go ahead and hop out to break. So,
let's go ahead and break.
So, and we'll be back here in a few. Which was a lot of fun. For some reason, our power was like flickering off and on. So
that's
why
we cut it.
we need to go break. We didn't know what was going on. It's a nice time. Maybe it's a brownout.
Well, we didn't want to lose 55 minutes worth of audio.
It's like 70-something degrees outside, right? So it can't be that.
This must have been another killer on the loose trying to cut the power.
Somebody probably drove their baby and 2-year-old son into a fucking power box somewhere out there.
Somebody's blood's dripping on the lines.
Oklahoma, the state of
non-drivers.
Decent fucking parents. So, anyways, let's go ahead and jump into this stuff before we piss off any locals. Alright, so last week's question, I wasn't here for it, so why doesn't somebody give me a recap, refresh? Why don't you top me off?
top you
top
off.
Top you off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not getting anywhere near that.
Don't jerk me off, man. So I love 80s movies. So there's this one where this guy just keeps saying that. It's like, stop jerking me off, man. But they really couldn't think of something else to say.
They should have used something else at that point.
It's the movie Cthulhu Mansion, and the guy's just going, stop jerking me off, man. And you're like, God, man, this, what the fuck?
So our question last week were, what are your favorite memories of the arcade?
Ah, okay.
So you and Drewski can go in on that.
Yeah, it's very, well, what did you guys say?
We talked about a lot of stuff. We got off on like a 30-minute tangent or something.
Oh, yeah.
I just went off on like Time Crisis and stuff like that.
Killer Instinct.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat. Played a lot of Street Fighter, man. I played a shitload of Street Fighter.
Talking about Ninja Turtles? Arcade?
We played a little bit of Ninja Turtles.
Boom. What about Carnival?
We went off last week on talking about like how our parents used to drop us off there.
Yeah.
To just go have fun for an afternoon. It wasn't fucking creepy because there weren't people out to get you.
Well, we've talked about this before.
Well, I guess
our show.
Our show,
the name The Tiltcast was actually because
there was an arcade called The Tilt here in town.
I used to go to the fucking Tilt of Woodland Hills Mall like all the time. And
that was like back, what, late 80s, early 90s?
Late 80s up into the late 90s. Yeah.
It was all the way up until when you were
like working. Like 97 or so, 97 or 98.
You were working at that one store.
Which one?
You worked at a lot of stores in the mall.
Romance of the Stone.
No, what was the gag shop?
Spencer's?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that was gone.
Was it gone
by the time I started working there? Yeah. Whenever the Morris Company took it over, they kicked out anything that really had to do with kids. Like kids that would... The reason why kids would be up there by themselves because they didn't want to have...
They didn't want any mole rats.
They didn't really want any kids up there. I mean, Promenade tried to do the same thing, but then they brought in, like, Hot Topic and all that stuff.
Well, they did the curfew, though.
They did the curfew where kids were not allowed inside of Promenade after 7 o'clock, I think.
Except for the theater area.
Yeah, but they had to have an attendant with them inside the actual mall area, which that doesn't really work too well. But Woodland just... Well, I remember back when Woodland was a smoking mall.
I remember when I used to skate. Illegally skateboarded, but I got in trouble a few times.
Yeah.
Well, I remember back when Woodland did the whole thing. Skateboards were illegal, but I thought it was funny. If your kid went in on roller skates, they could go through the entire mall on roller skates.
What I think is funny are those shoes that have the roller skates built into it, because I bet like mall cops are just shitting themselves. They're like, what do I do? It's got wheels, but he can walk too. Like, what the fuck do I do? It's like they're looking at their sign with the roller skates and the skateboard.
This came out like after
and they're going cross-eyed trying to blur it together. You're going like, what do I do with skate shoes? They're not roller skates. They're shoes that skate.
They're shoes with a wheel on the back.
I love those things. I wish they make them for adults, but they cost a lot. I've always wanted a pair just so I can walk around work.
I've told my wife this because I have one real bad arthritic knee in it. Mm. It does shit where a guy use a cane or something every once in a while. I keep telling her, I just need to get a walker, put wheels on it, just build a deck onto it so I can stand on it.
You just get yourself a rascal.
Well, no. I was going to do the walker specifically for the mall thing.
Oh, yeah.
And just see what they do. Mm-hmm. Just watch security just look at me.
Did you go there with a Segway?
Right.
What are they going to do? I mean, I think you can buy it at the... I don't know. They don't have the sharper image at the mall.
No, anymore, they don't.
But I'm sure that there's probably got to be one place at the mall, at one of the malls that sells a Segway.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, what do they do if you drive that out of there? I mean, I've seen, like, the movie
really
Paul Blart.
Yeah.
He rides a Segway.
He rides a Segway.
Are they
going to
stop anybody else with a Segway, you know?
You just get into a chase.
Yeah, you just get into a chase. Well, they do that in
a slow motion chase.
In Paul Blart, it's him and some, like, old dude or old chick and a fucking rascal.
Yeah.
He's, like, coming up behind them, and the guy's, like, speeding in his way.
And he's trying, like... ticket them for running their rascal through the mall, and I'm
like high speed or something.
How much lower can you get?
You and I, when we first moved in here, one of the first nights we watched Paul Blart, because we were sitting around and we had all our furniture and shit everywhere, and I was like, here, I just got this movie, let's watch it. And it's one of the dumbest movies. It's kind of like Vampire Hunter.
It's kind of endearing, though.
It's because it's Kevin James, you know. I like King of Queens, I'll admit that. And it's just like when he does the whole fucking blows up the fucking the Rainforest Cafe, and he puts the Band-Aid on it and tells Kitty.
Yeah.
You know?
He's just like, I like anything on there.
That brings up an interesting point. My wife also forced me to watch Pain It, or
Pain Again.
Here Comes the Boom.
Oh, I watched that, yeah.
This week, that's actually a good movie.
What is that?
Kevin James plays a school teacher.
Uh-huh.
School's doing cuts, so they're getting ready to cut the music program. So he starts fighting UFC to pay for the music.
Oh, really?
So I can stick around. That sounds
hilarious, man.
Dude, it's actually a good movie. And believe it or not, Kevin James looks like he shed 200 pounds for the role.
Nice.
Yeah.
Have you seen Hamlet, too?
Oh, I
love
that movie.
Okay. You're talking about School Cuts. And that's one of my favorite films. Yeah, Raped in the Face. I feel like I was raped in the face.
It was actually a really good movie. I had low expectations because I'm like, oh, Kevin James UFC doesn't fit. It was actually a good movie.
I think I saw a preview for it. I mean, like, what was it? When it comes to, like, wrestling, like, was it Ready to Rumble with David Arquette?
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite
movies.
I love that fucking movie. But now Hamlet 2, one of the best lines is, what's fisted?
Yeah.
It's like every year we get fisted by this guy. It's like, what's fisted? Sorry. Oh, I love that shit. I recommend that movie to everybody. I want to. In fact, actually, one of the Bad Movie Fiends. It's not a bad movie, but you should watch it because you'll laugh your ass off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude. That or Silver Bullet. Silver Bullet is just dying for a fucking fucking Riff Tracks. You know, Science Theater.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just
I love that stuff.
I watched Silver Bullet actually just last night again, and I was sitting there watching this. Every time I watch movies now, ever since I was a teenager with Mystery Science, I have to do this, like, internal monologue where I'm ripping the movie and adding
dialogue. Oh, dude, I do that too.
And sometimes it's really good fucking dialogue. I'm like, oh, that's fucking funny. And Silver Bullet's just fucking dying for it. So you can actually get Riff Tracks doing Twilight now, which is great.
Nice.
Yeah, they just trash.
You know what? That was the only... My wife was like, we're going to watch this movie, and I'm like, no, I'm not. She said, it's your husbandly duty. I watched
Con Air with you.
Yeah, so you're going to watch Twilight.
Oh,
it's funny, because I was doing that entire mental mystery science theater dialogue through
the
first half of the movie. Halfway through the movie, it starts going external, and I'm doing it out loud, and she's like, and then she starts doing it with me
because
she realizes how horrible this movie is.
My other thing is to throw in fart sounds.
Yes.
Because there's always that scene where, like, some guy walks in and finds, like, whoever's standing in the room, and the woman turns around and she has this weird look, and you go, just throw that in there. It's fantastic, especially when you do it in live movie theaters. Like when I went to go see Scooby Doo Monsters Everywhere.
Oh God!
Oh, well, it was me and Evie. Me and Evie went to go see it.
She was pretty cool.
No, I love Evie, man. A fucking California chick with a great sense of humor. And we were just fucking trashing this film. And there was this one kid. I didn't know it was a kid. There was this one person there laughing like a donkey. It's like that, you know, and they kept doing it, and she just goes, God damn, somebody sounds like a fucking donkey. And you hear her go like, and I started fucking laughing like so hard. And these parents turn around and look at us. I was like, it's time to go. Before somebody comes over here and takes out their fucking kids.
Well, it's
like,
gotten to the point now where if I'm just not really enjoying the movie, I will even do that shit in the movie theater.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I walk out. I used to never walk out of movies.
Yeah.
After Clueless, I walk out of fucking films.
So
actually, it's actually...
They cost too much.
After Ultraviolet. I got into that for free and I walked out of it.
That's for free. You don't have the investment. Like,
yeah.
I was getting movie tickets this weekend, or I was going to, and I was like, man, it's $10 a ticket for a regular ticket now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why I go to fucking Eaton Square. It's like $6.
Yeah.
Cheaper popcorn.
I go there, or I go to Sand Springs.
Yeah, or fucking Cinemark Movies Aid.
Yeah.
Dollar Theater, yeah.
Well, the Dollar Theater's different. You can walk out of that, but just expect...
Yeah.
the whole theater to smell like old weed or something, though.
It's not that.
No, actually.
It's a nice place.
Movies 8 out there in Sand Springs. It's
oh, yeah, that,
nice.
One's, that one's pretty nice.
Well,
yeah.
That's in Sand Springs.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah, and then the Cinemark over.
The one over off 31st and Sheridan.
No,
no. Horrible.
No, that's a franchise one, man. That's not actually Cinemark.
Yeah.
That's somebody who purchased the Cinemark. That's, that one's
yeah.
What about
shit.
That one over there off. Anyways, go on.
The one on. The Movies 8 that's off Memorial. When I used to work there, it largely depended on who was there that day. Like, when I was there, the place was nice and clean.
Well, yeah, that was back in the days when Last Action Hero was a big movie.
No, that was when I was running Romance in the Stone, and I took a side job working at Movies 8 to make extra money and to be able to see movies for free. That was, like, 2005. So, yeah, Last Action Hero was, like, quite some time before that. That's back when V for Vendetta came out, because I remember watching it there. Inside.
Yeah, but
it
turned into a dollar theater, though. It seems
it
like
was a dollar theater at the time. It's been a dollar theater since...
2002?
No, even before that, because it was about 2000 when it turned to a dollar theater, because me and Lisa used to go there all the time. We saw Terminator, Rise of the Machines there. It went to shit in 2003 and then started to get better in 2005 when I was working there, and then it kind of just goes back and forth. Now.
It goes back and forth. It depends on the caliber of manager they get.
That's true.
You know?
The manager I had moved.
That's the thing. That theater goes through managers like wildfire.
Mm-hmm. They probably don't pay that much.
No, they made okay because, I mean, their Cinemark management, everybody else makes shit. I mean, I had an actual management job at my regular job, so I was making decent cash, but I worked there mainly because I had free time to kill, and I didn't like to be at my apartment because it was a fucking shithole, so I got a second job. I just worked like fucking like 30-hour days. Sorry, not 30 hours, I'm sorry. Like 16-hour days. At the store, and then go over to the mall. Sorry, go over to Cinemark and work there for the night, up until like fucking 12 o'clock at night, and then wake up at 8 and go back to work. So,
but yeah, you go to the one down on Memorial, across from Woodland Hills. It's fine.
Yeah, that's not bad. And then the one that's all the way up in by Broken Arrow, the actual full Cinemark.
That's actually
it's pretty nice. It's pretty nice. They have the IMAX there and everything.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, I digest.
I digest.
So, but yeah, arcades though. That's where we were. We're talking about arcades, and then we got into malls.
You know, we were talking about stuff like, you know, we were talking about stuff like, yeah, it was nothing for, like, my mom to go to work in the early '90s, have go work a job because she worked part time, and drop us off at the arcade.
Yeah,
for 4 or 5 hours.
Well,
she went to work, you know.
We were the last generation of responsible latchkey kids.
That's
fun.
True.
We did shit we should never do and nobody should ever do. But we didn't go around shooting schools, which is what every generation after us started doing.
Well, usually the only people we hurt was ourselves.
Yeah, or friends, but, you know. They would get over
it. I smoked a lot of cigarettes, smoked a lot of weed, and that's pretty much all I did. I mean, aside from skateboarding.
A lot of liquor. Explored storm drains, found the right places to sit down and get drunk as shit. So.
You know, tried to imitate the early days of the X Games and bust your shit on some drainage culvert.
Yeah, we didn't have like Jackass to influence us.
Yeah, we didn't. Yeah.
Columbine happened after I graduated, like right after I graduated. We didn't have stupid fuckheads like that in our school doing really stupid shit.
No.
Columbine was the whole reason I had to, like, change my coat.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So, I had a trench coat for the longest time. I was a skater kid that had a trench coat. Like, I wasn't...
You were Silent Bob. You were
kind of like
saying.
Silent Bob, but I wasn't as fat back then.
You were skinny back in the day. So.
Yeah. But anyways, I was one of those kids that had a trench coat, and it wasn't even like a leather trench coat. It was like a nylon trench coat. It was like cheap ass trench coat.
It was a duster.
It was a duster.
Yeah.
But hey, don't knock it. I had one.
No, I still have one. Always Sunny, where
they're
trash on the
duster. Oh, yeah.
They were, as soon as that happened, I remember I was in high school, and so I graduated a couple years after you, and they started saying stuff about the trench coat mafia and everything else, and how Doom was like influencing everybody. And Doom, Nine Inch Nails, and KMFDM were going to cause the corruption of the youth.
Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, well, I didn't give two shits about Marilyn
Manson.
I was a lot bigger into Sonic Youth.
Who cares about Korn?
But anyways, like it, they that totally fucked me up. Like I didn't have a coat, and my parents were too poor to buy me a coat, so I used to wear like two flannels, like in the middle of winter. It was fucking ridiculous.
See, I remember.
I don't know. I still wore my duster after that. So.
See, I remember my last year of high school. I had my nice wool trench coat, and it was just this nice. You know, I was like your typical industrial fucking whatever person, but I would usually wear like, you know, black slacks, a t-shirt, you know, I had a button-up shirt I wear, and I had my trench coat, and it was just very comfortable.
See, I wore a lot of JNCO jeans, a lot of like fucking skateboard t-shirts and band t-shirts and whatever.
I had like fucking Ice Zenday and Cure shirts and fuck the Smiths. No, actually, yeah, Morrissey, I hated. The Smiths were okay. And all that, and just I had the long oi haircut coming down with everything shaded in the back. Yeah, like the short in the back and piercings and all that crap. And nobody thought I was going to shoot the school up. Nowadays, you go to any school to go visit it, and it's usually the kids with the piercings are more the norm now. There's a lot of those kids. But it's those goth kids they're all afraid of. They think they're going to blow the place up. You know, the mall cops are always watching them in the commons area in the morning, trying to figure out what their manifesto is about.
Yeah, they're fucking LARPing.
Yeah, they're LARPing, most likely. They're probably talking about fucking Gryffindor. And there's like, Gryffindor's code name. Yeah, it's a code name. They're gonna nuke the school. So, I don't know. I hate that shit. So, but anyways, and Nike is a satanic symbol, according to Tipper Gore. That is true. Anyways, I'm trying to think. What was your arcade game? What was your favorite arcade game? Or are you too young?
I never went to the arcade, but I did play arcade games. Like, I played Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, I played those.
But you played them on console.
Console, yeah.
That's sad. That's sad. A whole era that you missed.
I still say my favorite arcade game was 1942.
1942.
That's a classic.
That's a good one.
You know.
Yeah. I'd say,
ActRaiser. Or Ultra Beast. Man, I love
Ultra Beast.
Ultra Beast, yeah.
Oh, Gauntlet. They brought that fucking four-player arcade gauntlet that was fucking badass. I remember they brought that out for Nintendo 64, the four-player gauntlet.
Yeah.
That's one that they need to release on fucking Nintendo Network.
Now people know how we got all our naming conventions. It's all fucking arcade-based.
Yeah. If they released... Did they put Gauntlet 64 out on Nintendo Network?
I would assume it is, but I don't know.
Dude, that's such a great game, man. That and Shadow
Gate. It was. Shadowgate was good.
Oh, they're doing a re-release.
Or Hexen.
Hexen. Oh, Jesus Christ, man. No, it's taking me back to my days of maybe I am a Satanist. I don't know. Anyway, let's see. I would say there was Mortal Kombat 3, of course. I always played as Cabal. You know, the guy with the crowbars. I loved him. There was one I don't remember the name of where you would get on the machine. It was a bike, and it was this futuristic racing game where you're on this motorcycle and you can go around walls and everything. I don't remember the name of it, but you had a weaponry you could use and stuff. It's almost like Wipeout, but on motorbikes.
Road Rush?
No, it wasn't Road Rush.
No.
It was very
pixelated. Yeah.
Crevices motorcycle you got on and the screen was like this big.
I don't remember.
And you'd sit there and you'd tilt the bike to the side and you'd go up and you'd actually circle around the tubes and stuff and then you'd end up in open areas. It was
almost like Sonic in the bonus level with a motorcycle.
Yeah, but it's first person.
Yeah.
You know, through, or third person, actually, I'm sorry. Actually, I think it went back and forth. There's that one, then there was the last one that I really like to play a lot. I knew the name of when we talked about arcades a long time ago. I can't remember the name of it now. It's a hologram game where it was live-action holograms. And you play this time-traveling cowboy who would come into a scene that would take place in, like, say, Persia, back in wherever, like, you know, 15th century. And you just walk through your time gate, and it would be this cinematic of something going on, and these two guys would come running up. One of them would come running up with some fucking knives, and you'd shoot them, and you'd have to know where they were going to come at. So it's kind of like Dragon's Lair, where you got to know the timing to get it right. And if you fuck up, you die, and you only have so many lives to continue. And I can't remember, it was like Time Traveler or Time Traveler or something like that. But it was just a cowboy, really odd that there would be a time traveling Pecos Bill. But either way, it was all live action hologram. It was pretty fun.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, With that, do we have any submissions for that question?
I think Scott from Carousel just said all of them.
How does he ever get anything done?
I figured, you know, coming from him, I expected a much longer answer.
Yeah, same here.
That's okay. We got a question coming up a little bit later.
Oh, there's the Star Wars, the actual Return of the Jedi games and stuff they put out. New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. Those were actually pretty fun.
Yeah, we talked about TIE Fighter a little bit last week, too.
Oh, fucking, they need to put out another good TIE Fighter game.
Dude, I would completely love to see TIE Fighter updated with a new engine.
Well, they did that fucking Naboo one.
That
thing sucks so bad. Yeah. I miss the old fucking, like, Rogue Squadron.
Yeah, I used to play that.
That was...
Yeah.
First game I had that used to have the N64 expansion pad.
Oh, yeah. The little expansion.
Yeah.
Rogue Squadron was a great fucking game.
Yeah.
Rogue Squadron was the first one I really enjoyed after TIE Fighter.
Yeah.
But you realize you didn't really fly, you just kind of floated along the ground.
Yeah, I know. But it was still badass. It was fun.
Yeah.
That was a good one. But anyways, so we're going to move from that. We're going to jump into, I guess, you just want to go ahead and do our question for next week?
Well, that ties into a whole discussion. Do you want to get news out of the way?
Yeah.
Is there going to be any long discussions in the news, or are they just quick pieces?
I would rather get out of the way right now.
All right, yeah.
Because I feel like the question that I was talking about, I have a decent amount to discuss. We had a decent amount to discuss with it.
Go for it.
So, one of the things that I wanted to talk about was, so, do you guys remember the XCOM, like, third-person game that was supposed to come out?
Yeah, they were supposed to do that.
Yeah.
Shooter game.
Yeah, so that is going to happen. It's called Bureau.
Really.
So it's called Bureau, the XCOM Declassified.
So I got pulled back off the shelf again?
So yeah, that's being built again. It's based in the 1960s, small town America.
Who's doing it?
You'd have to ask that right now.
That's what people want to
ask. Hey, you brought it up, man.
Yeah,
it's 2K Marin.
So same company, basically.
Nice.
So, but yeah, it's definitely done the same art style. Of course, it's going to be on the ground. They're going to be doing that whole throwback to that whole era. So you're like a FBI detective with like cyber weaponry and stuff like that, like kind of attached to you, but you're wearing a suit kind of thing.
So Deus Ex meets 1950s XCOM.
Yeah, which I'm actually, it comes out I think in August.
Yeah, cool.
So I'm actually really excited about it. If I'd remembered, I would show you guys some gameplay, but it looked pretty cool.
What's it coming out on?
Everything. I mean,
oh,
everything.
Really? So they're going to do everything. Oh, nice.
Yeah, so 360, PS3,
nice.
PC. I didn't see Wii U on there yet, but that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah, maybe. Well, it'd be interesting to see what they do with the gamepad integration.
I'd like to see it on Wii U. If they came out on Wii U,
well, it's like if XCOM came out on...
Oh, man, if XCOM had come out on Wii U, that'd have been perfect.
Yeah, that would have been interesting to see the whole tactical thing.
You just like
that.
Yeah, you just move your stuff with your finger. I mean, it would
be
awesome.
That'd be pretty... Maybe you should send them an email. I'm sure they've already thought about it, but at least that way they can just go ahead and tell you, yeah, we already thought of that.
So, one of the other things I was going to talk about, Matt talked a lot about WoW last week. Well, between March and January, they dropped another 1.3 million users.
Oh...
And their shares.
The ever dying world of WoW.
It's not just WoW, man. Diablo.
Oh, dude.
Well, did you hear Diablo had some problems with their microtransactions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it fucked up their whole store. So I guess what happened with Diablo is there was a way to duplicate money.
Yeah.
So people duplicated their gold, and since that's a big part of that, it completely fucked up the economy on Diablo. So because of that, I guess all the extra sales are now going to charity.
Jeez.
But yeah, that totally got FUBAR.
Yeah. Fucking Blizzard used to kind of have their shit together. I don't know what they're doing now. And
well, the only thing that went in my mind is StarCraft. StarCraft is fucking solid as shit, but...
StarCraft 2, I still need to finish it. I've been playing it, but I just...
Yeah, once you get
solid
to Heart
game,
of the...
though. Solid game, though.
Once you get to Heart of the Swarm, man, it is gold.
Well, I'm still in that part where I'm doing the Protoss, where I'm holding out and I have to take out...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing the flashback missions and all that. So
when I'm talking about World of Warcraft, I mean, I quit playing, what, 2009?
Somewhere around that. I was busy dating and stuff, so I don't remember.
Well,
yeah.
But, it was... When I was playing it, there were 12 million subscribers.
Yeah.
It's dropped down. Now they're down at like 8.3 million players.
Jeez.
Which is still makes it still the most widely played MMO, but they're saying that it's all the free-to-play MMOs that are taken away from them.
It's still content.
I mean, Matt will disagree with me, but he doesn't really have a chance to defend himself, but... The problem I have at this point, aside from the addiction factor, is that game is so old and so dated at this point.
It's not just that. They've also nerfed it so much that even me, when I came back with my ex, who talked me into playing it again, when she talked me into it and I went back in there, we were playing Undead. And by the time we left the newbie area, I already had like 2 gold. And I was like, you have to be shitting me. When I left, usually when you left the newbie area, you're lucky if you had like 10 silver.
Yeah, I remember I got my first gold by like level 20, my first whole gold.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah. And level 20 was like a week-long experience, and now it's like something you can do in an afternoon.
Oh yeah, it's so nerfed, and the skill settings, the skill trees are so fucked.
Different levels of raids and things like that. Like, yeah, everybody can do raids.
That's all fucking
garbage. I'm there with Trent too. Everything's so stale now at this point. It's been going so long.
It's like I said, it's stale content, but it's also just that they've fucked the whole game up so much that they're trying to nerf it to open the audience to people who aren't really into the technical side of it. Fuck that.
Well, I remember playing 40-person raids and everybody had a role and it was a big fucking deal.
Oh, yeah.
Like a really hard thing to accomplish, and now it's kind of like everybody can do it.
They should, to be honest with you, why don't they do 2 versions where there's the one that's the original that's
or just do another game.
Let's do another game. But I mean, Warcraft
it's been around since 2004.
Yeah. But Warcraft
9 years.
Warcraft original, for what it was a fun game that took, you had to know your class and you had to know what you were doing, and that made it fun.
Not only that, you had to really work with people.
Yeah, and you took pride in knowing that you knew how to play your hunter character without fucking aggroing the entire room and don't be a douchebag elf. Or being
like a really badass warlock or really badass rogue.
You felt good at what you did.
Well, and so tanking was an art. Now it's like,
oh yeah, now it's just
it's so like nerfed to the point that you can take almost any character you want to and tank.
You can go.
It's funny because like I was playing. So when I ended, I started off with a warrior tank, then went over to a pally tank.
Yeah,
and the pally tank was just like there were no. They call it CC, and CC was like you take out different characters, so it's not a big deal. During the last months that I was playing, I was taking my pally tank and going through raids and grabbing like 20 mobs of trash and then just surviving somehow. Well, I got overhealed and then everybody AOE'd everything down. So it was air effect spells, air effect spells, air effect abilities. And it felt like there wasn't a lot of skill to it anymore.
Yeah, it's like whenever I started playing with her again, you can be a level 15 going into fucking Deadmines.
Oh, Deadmines.
And you can sit there and take Smite as a, Smite as a as a tank and just sit there and let him beat the shit out of you. You don't take anything. You're just like, yeah, fucking suck it. I'm level 15. You're a big fucking Taurus. Fucking, whatever. It doesn't do shit to you. I remember back in the day when you ran up against Smite and his fucking cleaver thing, you were scared shitless because he'd do that paralyze.
Yeah.
And you're just taking damage the entire fucking time.
And then,
that's all gone.
And during those first couple years, if you really wanted to tank him, you had to have a large group going into that instance.
You had to have
2 tanks
a
lot of times.
Yeah, you'd have to have a healer, a pally, 2 people throwing out heals because you're going to take damage, especially during that fight because those assassins that come out, the invisible ones. Yeah. They're going to do more than just attack the fucking
You needed
tank.
A hunter for those assassins. You needed a couple of tanks. You needed...
Well, it's kind of like going back towards like my old days of doing like healing and stuff in that game. I remember I had several different mods that helped me click several things a lot quicker. So I had my whole, my whole game modded out. And I'd do group heal. But I had a priest. A priest has single heals. You have 1 heal over time, which was renew. You had a flash heal, and then you had your regular heal. And I had different levels of heal based on the amount of mana I was going to use. And I had everything hotkeyed. So I would start casting a spell and then start casting another spell and start casting another spell. And I'd have to keep like 5 people alive. That was my job, was keeping 5 people alive all the time. And it was stressful as shit. Like, I remember just like one of those crazy Korean StarCraft plays. Like, that's how I played that game.
You know what I noticed whenever I went back in there is all the old school players that were still on there that were playing were basically just going around ganking people. That's all they would do is they go off and they go to the noob areas and they start beating the shit out of fucking newbies because they're like, that's the only fun they have left now. I've already beaten the game.
Yeah.
When
I hit that point, I quit playing WoW.
Yeah, because it gets boring. You go and you just fucking, you go out on fucking the Gold Coast and you just fucking chicken hog people. I mean, you're just like, okay, this is boring. It's still fun, though, to get like 30 people together and go and trash the Undercity. The undead area. That's still fun.
Pierce Folklades.
Yeah, that is complete fun still. And it's still fun to get an undead army and go run into Stormwind and just start, because the NPCs are still kind of hard. that's where the challenge is beating up people you're not supposed to kill.
Right.
So it's like a fucking Birdmaster fucking dead. Yeah, there you go. Nobody can fly out of the city for the next 10 minutes. And then you just start slaughtering them, all the newbies are trying to get away. But I digest. Anyways.
Is that your new ball?
Yeah, it's my new ball. Yeah.
So, one of the things I can bring up that's going to piss you off, Trent.
Oh, yeah.
Aliens, Colonial Marines reach 1.3 million.
Oh, I already told you about this. Yeah,
I've got the full article here.
Oh,
and I guess this is what Sega's been banking on. Like, this has made their financial year.
That's what I told you was going to happen. I said, okay, they sold this many copies, which made it their number two best-selling game of the year, and I said that is going to be the excuse they're going to use to continue the franchise.
Well, they didn't say about continuing the franchise off this, but yeah, you know, the other things that they have in their laurels right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have Football Manager 2013.
And this is Sega.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Olympics. And so it's Sega Olympics 2012. And I'm trying to think what. Phantasy Star Online 2.
Yeah, you can't trash Phantasy Star too much.
Yeah, but that's old as shit.
I know, but it's a long running franchise. It's been around a long time. And actually, Phantasy Star was a really good game. So it killed a lot of fucking hours.
Well, their microtransactions are what are making them money right now.
Oh, yeah.
So that just kind of sucks. I mean,
if that lawsuit actually goes through, we'll see how much of that, you know, money they got off Colonial Marines they'll actually get to keep. So,
yeah.
Because I don't know if you guys talked about that last
week. Well, Timegate Studios actually went under.
Oh, no, yeah. They went in and they filed for bankruptcy insurance and they were going to go ahead and do that. But that doesn't mean shit because it's Sega and Fox that are the actual publishers and distributors. So they're the ones who actually have to pay the bill. So, but I don't know if you guys brought that up last week, that there was a lawsuit being filed because a lot of the commercials that were shown for Aliens, Colonial Marines, and a lot of the tech demos and shit they showed at the expos.
Well, they were different. Was a different build.
It was the original Gearbox stuff that Gearbox had developed, not what Timegate had been working on, because Timegate trashed all that and decided to redo it all, and it looked a lot different. So the stuff we were showed was not what we purchased, and that constitutes illegal as fraud. So people are trying to do a lawsuit, a class action lawsuit, for anybody who pre-ordered the game up to the day that before it came out. So we might get something back. Who knows?
I was going to say, in other news, people know that I'm a big fan of CD Projekt Red. Who knows Witcher 2?
Yeah.
Also doing that Cyberpunk
2077 or whatever.
Yeah, they're doing that too. So they just released their dev tools for Witcher 2.
Nice.
For free.
You gonna fuck around with that?
I don't know, we'll see. If I get enough time.
Dip your balls a little?
Well, I got a 4-day weekend coming up, so who knows what's gonna happen.
You're gonna clip your teeth on it.
But, no, it looks really cool. I mean, it's like a complete level editor using the tools they used to make Witcher 2, which is a really
good looking game. Yeah, it's good looking.
So, that's something that's really cool that
I think.
Yeah,
can you do the stuff in 3D?
Yeah, it's all 3D.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like, so, I watched a tech demo for people making stuff, and it was, like, ground up. Like, you start with the splines, and then you work your way all the way up.
Nice, so you can actually...
So it's not just cut and paste shit.
So you can actually do everything from building structures to character as well?
Nice. Yeah, so you can import some of the characters from the game to use that as a basis for your models, or
you can redo the models with the... going in and moving the polygons around to change the face structure and the outfits and everything.
Yeah.
Nice, that's actually a pretty strong editor then.
I'm going to say some of the other things that I had. I guess there was a big loss with Square Enix. They lost $134 million in the first quarter.
Where'd they lose it?
Well, Rising. I guess they thought that some of their games were going to do a lot better. I guess they thought Tomb Raider was going to do better than it did. And granted, it didn't do bad. I mean, it sold in like 2 or 3 million copies.
Yeah.
But that wasn't enough for them. And I guess they have enough spare cash to
But
finance that?
Are they looking at it from the numbers of, say, they're looking at it from the numbers of Tomb Raider, the original, how it is, as opposed to this is a reboot of the entire series?
Well, games don't sell like that anymore unless it's like Call of Duty.
Yeah, but they're also handicapping themselves because they are relaunching a franchise completely different than it's ever been, and with a new development, you know, Crystal Dynamics.
Well,
and so
Metal Gear Rising hasn't done as well as they were banking either.
That's Konami.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. Sorry.
Well, it's like... It was
Tomb Raider that they've had recently, and then Hitman.
Hitman.
And before that was Deus Ex, which once again was a whole revamp of a game series.
Deus Ex, I don't see them... I thought sales were still pretty decent on that one.
They did okay. I mean, to be honest with you, in my opinion, anything Deus Ex is going to be a labor of love because... It was kind of a cult game.
It was.
When it came out, it was not a huge thing. It was just people who were really into that whole thing. I mean, it was one of the more deeper stories in the game that was a mainstream
at the
release.
Time.
Yeah. And they continued that with Deus Ex HR. It's still a pretty deep story for what it is. But again, it's a revamp where they redid the entire way a game looks and how it plays. Same thing with Hitman. They altered Hitman enough to where it's a little bit different. And I thought Hitman was a great game.
See, I didn't even mess with Hitman.
Hitman Absolution is one of the best games that came out last year. It's fantastic. It's really good.
Yeah, it's really good. I had a lot of... We both had a lot of fun with Hitman.
They have a purist mode on there where it turns everything off so there's no heads-up display. And I played through it on that, and that's on professional setting. It's pretty much the hardest... purist mode is actually beyond professional. I think it's professional with a little bit more difficulty, and it's, you gotta really know what you're doing and memorize all the levels, but it's really fucking fun.
Nice.
So, and it looks beautiful.
Really well, I was gonna fun. Say, so looking at total sales, 2.13 million copies on PC, 360 and PS3, so I mean it didn't do horrible.
For which game?
Tomb Raider, and then a month later, Bioshock Infinite came out, and it sold 3.7 million.
Yeah, so it didn't do too bad. I mean, Bioshock Infinite was
a huge game.
They just said that Bioshock Infinite has sold in 3.7 million copies worldwide life to date.
Yeah, so Square Enix, I guess, is, for whatever reason, I guess they thought they were going to sell like 10 million copies. I didn't see that happening. But... anyways,
that's a little
bit. Yeah, but they also had higher expectations with their last three Final Fantasy releases that they haven't met either.
To be honest with you, the last good Final Fantasy game that came out and is Final Fantasy 10. 11, 12, 13, they all sucked. They all sucked. Final Fantasy Online was a wretched fucking mistake. 10-2
I didn't enjoy 10-2.
Yeah, 10-2 was shitty. 13-2 I think it was, the sequel they put out to Final Fantasy 13. That one was actually better than fucking Final Fantasy 13 was. Final Fantasy 13 looked pretty, but it was a 40-hour tutorial just to get to the game, and it sucked, but 13-2 was
friend of ours, Chuck, he told me not to touch 13, so I did.
No, if you're going to touch 13, do 13-2.
Yeah,
you'll be a little lost on the story, but they explain a little bit as you go on, and they break it down to where you only play two characters, but you have a pet that you can swap out, and that becomes your third character, and they do special things, that becomes your third character, and they bring in characters from the original game that are non-controllable that'll come into your fights whenever it's a story element where they're part of it, and they'll do extra damage for you and all that crap. And it's actually a really cool game where you're going back in time and changing the way you did things a little bit to alter the future outcome of 13, and it was actually really well done. It was pretty interesting game. A lot of J-pop.
So, talking about Japanese games, Castlevania Lords of Shadow 2 is going to be the concluding chapter of the reboot.
Oh.
So, which kind of sucks, but that game's pretty good. I guess they're going to work on even better boss battles than before.
Nice.
And it seems like you are basically playing Dracula, so it is going to be that aspect.
And it is going to be a mix between ancient and modern day.
And I guess they're doing... I guess they said there's no chance of this coming out on Wii U.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what they go with after that, where they take the franchise, because, I mean, that's going to be the end of that particular reboot, and then it's kind of open waters after that. So.
Yeah.
So they're bringing back the whip. Like, remember the cross was kind of like the whip?
Yeah.
I guess they're going to be doing a blood whip. Nice. So to give him longer range and things like that.
Nice.
I got two more things real quick.
This one about James Cameron?
No.
Damn.
So Xbox 720 is being called, I guess, according to some Twitter sources, that it might be called Infinity. We'll find out more about that on the 21st, which is coming up really soon.
I cannot wait.
Yeah.
I really want to see what happens. But that's going to happen the day after we do a podcast next week, so we'll talk about that.
I hope to see more than just a controller.
Yes.
More things we've seen.
Yeah.
The last thing I wanted to talk about, which will lead into our last bit of discussion.
Wait, what about the James Cameron thing? You should probably mention that one.
How do you bring it up? I did.
Well, I don't know the story.
Yeah. Oh, Jason was the one that was talking about
that. I'm getting it.
So, I'll talk about something real quick while you do that.
Yeah.
Right.
So, there's some hullabaloo going on about, I guess, Metro Last Light offered DLC for people who pre-ordered it.
Yeah.
It's called Ranger Mode. In Ranger Mode, you do it without a HUD, and it's harder.
It looks cool.
I
don't like the fact that it's only pre-order, though.
Well, you can get the DLC, I think they're talking about, for $3.
That's not bad.
So, even if you wait till afterwards.
I think it throws in 2 or 3 extra guns, too. Yeah.
Well, that being said, a lot of people are upset that it is just a game mode that they're offering as DLC. However, I don't mind it as much, because you look at all the games that release through GameStop and Amazon and Walmart, and everything's got a different fucking pre-order. The gamers are starting to get upset with that kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
So they're basically just saying, this is, if you get it early, you can get this game mode. If not, then you pay $3 extra.
And to be honest with you,
like, there's not a lot of change. It doesn't change.
Yeah.
It doesn't add a story to that you couldn't get from the original game.
No, but at the same time, though, on PC through Steam, the game's like $15 cheaper than it is in stores. Because it's $65.10 here with tax. It's
$44.99.
Yeah. It's like $44, I think $50 total.
For a sharper
on
game
Steam
experience.
So, you're going to get it cheaper, and you're going to get an extra game mode if you pre-order it. Be happier saving the $15, because if you bought on Xbox or PS3 just to get that game mode, later on it's probably going to cost you another $15, because they always raise the price on DLC for console as opposed to how much it is on Steam.
Well, it's
so,
just like I played Poker Night, and then I bought Poker Night thinking it was going to be multiplayer, not doing enough research. And I bought it on 360 for just that reason.
I bought it to play with you, so...
it's not multiplayer.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
Well, you bought it on Steam, though, right?
Yeah.
$4.99?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you play it at all?
It doesn't run on Windows 8, and I haven't beat it up into Windows 7 in a while, so...
You really should play
it. No, I know, I keep meaning to.
It's really enjoyable.
I've been busy. Alan Wake and jacking off websites and stuff. Yeah. Doing my job.
So, I got to apologize to you, Trent. It's still JC, but from glancing at it, it wasn't James Cameron. It's John Carpenter.
Oh, John Carpenter wants to do
Dead
Space.
That's a better
John
choice.
Carpenter
no, that's not a better
do...
choice. You want to know why it's not a better choice? Have you watched a John Carpenter movie lately?
Not since the
80s, back when he was good.
Yeah.
And then he did Vampires.
And
fucking James Woods.
Carpenter has said... And I would love to make Dead Space into a film. I'll tell you right now, that one is ready made. I maintain that Dead Space would just make a great movie because you have these people coming onto an abandoned, shut down spaceship and they have to start it up.
I would say...
See, Dead Space always reminds me of Event Horizon already.
Well, Event Horizon... Well, think about it. I mean, Event Horizon, Alien... Aliens, actually, more to the point. Pandorum. Jesus Christ. How many movies involved in going to find a fucking derelict space station or planet or something like that?
Right.
Pitch Black, you know, which is still a great fucking movie. But,
I still want to see more Riddick.
John Carpenter. Yeah, well, the new Riddick comes out later this year.
Yeah,
so can't
I
wait.
Know.
And they're actually going to go back to the classic style rather than trying to do the over-the-top Hollywood shit.
Yes.
So. Yes, thank you, fucking David Tuohy. Anyways, with John Carpenter doing, because I'm the resident horror fanatic, John Carpenter doing a Dead Space movie, if he went and he got his special effects supervisor that helped out with the new thing, prequel that came out, because that guy did a decent job, and they actually used monster designs that were, one, left over from the Thing video game,
yeah,
which was also was a sequel to the movie, So they tried to recycle those to put in there because the Two-Face thing was really great. And some stuff that was left over from the original thing movie. That would be interesting. But a proper director for it, because of the way that everything looks, like the technology and stuff, and I'd hate to throw him under the bus again because I always do this and I don't know why, you get Jean Genet as a director, or at least a set design creator with it, cinematographer, sorry. You get him and Guillermo del Toro.
I can agree with that.
Guillermo del Toro.
I can agree with that.
He has a way of... He doesn't like CGI. He likes prosthetics, and I'm a big fan of prosthetics. CGI just gets on my nerves.
Practical effect.
Yeah, it just gets on my nerves because it doesn't look good, especially in low light scenes.
Yeah.
A lot of the times the lighting's not done correctly, so it just stands out like a sore thumb. You have to use glistened and gooeyed up prosthetics to really make a dark scene work very well.
Yes.
And if you look at Pan's Labyrinth with the eyeball guy, prime example, or even the
Well, especially with Dead Space, you know, some of those, I would want to see somebody going through a mutant with a fucking laser chainsaw, and I want to see...
Oh, the Ripper?
Yes.
Yeah, the Ripper thing, yeah.
Yeah. You know, but I want to see it done practically. I understand the chainsaw would have to be CGI, but still everything with
then,
the body can
be
practical,
fun.
You know.
Yeah, it'd be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, John Carpenter. I mean, Prince of Darkness is still one of my all-time favorite movies, and that's a John Carpenter film. The Thing is one of my favorite remakes of a remake, and that's fucking John Carpenter. And then Them. That's a great one. He does great fucking movies back in the day. It's just after the 90s, he just kind of fucking Escape from New York.
Oh
yeah,
heck yeah.
Escape from LA, not so much. But, I mean, it was alright. You know, fuck Peter Fonda, he likes him anyways. But Snake Plissken is one of my all time favorite fucking. He's fucking hilarious. But anyways, yeah. So that'll be interesting. Okay, you can go ahead and jump into your final piece of news. I'm done with that. Thank God it's not James Cameron. Jesus. Oh, it's like fucking Avatar Dead Space. It's like, let's make the monsters blue.
The only way I want to see that is if it's James Cameron who did Terminator.
Who did The Abyss.
Yes.
And Planet Terror. Galaxy of Terror. And, And Aliens.
The good James Cameron.
Back when he was still brown nosing his way through shit, trying to be like, see, I'm good, I can do this stuff. And no Arnold Schwarzenegger, I can't stand him in space anymore. Jesus. God. What? Fucking, I hate Schwarzenegger space movies. They suck. Anyway. And clone movies. I can tell you, that guy gets cloned more than anybody else in the face of the fucking. Even Michael Keaton had fucking 4 clones, and that doesn't come close to Schwarzenegger. Yeah, that's a great movie.
That movie's still enjoyable to this day.
Yeah, that's like, she touched my Pepe Steve.
I like pizza.
Yeah. Puts pizza in his wallet. Anyway, but now, The Sixth Day with fucking Schwarzenegger.
Oh, dude.
Like, I'm the clone. No, you're the clone. No, I'm the real guy. You're just like, and then Junior. Twins.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hey, you know what?
Cop.
The only reason...
Terminator. He got cloned in Terminator.
The only reason the only reason Twins was enjoyable was Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito was funny as shit.
Yeah.
And then there was one really there are two really good action movies he did. You're gonna agree. Last Action Hero, because it was a fucking joke.
Yes.
And then the other one is True Lies. I don't care what anybody
says. Oh, dude, True Lies is a great movie.
And that's James Cameron once again. And and that is one of the greatest action spy parody movies of all time.
Oh yeah,
it's a fun. It's a
Bill
fun
Paxton
role.
Is in it. And he's fucking hilarious. He's like, I got a little dick.
It's pathetic. Let's face it. That's the one movie that I actually thought Jamie Lee Curtis was really hot in.
Oh, dude, that fucking striptease movie. Yeah, dude. And she was already in her 40s or so when she did that.
Yeah,
it was great. And fucking Tom Arnold was actually fucking
funny. Oh, Tom Arnold was funny, yeah. But they dialed Tom Arnold back a bit.
Sometimes, yeah, they did at times, He was. I like it when he's hiding behind the pole and the guy's shooting and he comes
out
and he's like checking his balls and she's like, oh, okay. Anyways, yeah, ball. We'll move on.
So, you and your movies.
Yeah. And I just stayed. So let's move forward.
Okay, so back to video games. One of the things I wanted to bring up is just the existence of spoilers on the internet and just spoilers in general. I wanted to kind of get a feel for how you guys feel about that. Like, what's too early for spoilers or what's too late for, like we've joked about it on this show and we've maybe pissed some people off. But
with fake spoilers. Fake spoilers.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes we start to get there, but, like, I read something on the internet that somebody had written in, and they said, so the thing is, like, how many interesting game discussions could be had if we only talked about spoilers? Like, it actually got me thinking, man, if I could just do spoiler casts all the time or just say, all right, this is part two of the Tiltcast, we will spoil the shit out of anything you can think of.
And we talk about doing spoiler casts.
Right, but it would be nice to just be like, okay, so this is, we're not worried about getting trolled, we just want to talk about video games, we want to talk about the things we like about a game.
Yeah.
But be forewarned, you're going to be spoiled. Like, if we said that, like, do you think people would listen? But I guess more so than the fun. Like, there's not a lot that really pisses me off. Like, there are some things to be spoiled. Like, if I knew the end of Battlestar Galactica, the series on, that would have pissed me off. Yeah. Now, granted, I still didn't like the ending that much, but if I'd have known everything going into that series, that kind of pissed me off. If I'd have known the end of Bioshock Infinite before I finished it, that would probably piss me off.
Yeah.
But I just, like, it feels like the internet is way too sensitive to spoilers. Like, I listen to a show where they do nothing but spoil shitty movies, and I actually vicariously listen to how they present a movie and never watch the movie half the time through another podcast. And it's because I don't give a shit about the spoilers in it.
But it's also a question of what constitutes a spoiler, though, at the same time. Because it's not just, you know, people would say,
why do people get so fucking upset about it, though? That's the thing.
Well,
like, everybody is, has a raging hard-on to get upset.
It's trying. It's trolling. It's people throwing out, I'm going to be oversensitive and emo because you just said something. And I'm not throwing this out for, if I went to a website for it to look at a game I had not played yet, one, I wouldn't do that because I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go off and do that because I
like
know
if
that
we're
people
legitimately
are
reviewing something, we don't spoil it.
Yeah, in our reviews, we don't tell anything about what happens in the game. We talk about if it was interesting, we say there's a lot of really cool twists and turns, but we don't say, oh, by the way, this happens. You have a penis at the end and you're a chick. We don't do that. You know,
let me talk about, like,
Tomb Raider again.
Tomb Raider. She had a dick at the end of the game. That's where the second pistol comes in. Anyway, but she has a twin shooter. But we don't do that. Why are you spreading your legs? Anyway, but it's one of those things where if the game, for instance, like, say, let's throw any game out there where we say, okay, this is what happens at the end. That is a fucking spoiler. If we say, oh, you know, halfway through the game, blah, blah, blah. Oh, they showed it in the previews. You know, this character comes back from the first game. And somebody goes, oh, that's a spoiler. I'm like, did you watch any of the fucking trailers?
Did well, I kind of wonder, like, if people know, like, we put on our titles, like, what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about some of the core gameplay, things that excite us, you know. Some of the things that are plot twists, like Metro 2033, like, I basically already know what happens at the end at this point.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about it. I'm more worried about the ride getting there, to be honest with you. And I'm going to try to finish both games at once, I guess. I don't know, because I really want to play the new one.
Yeah.
Just to see what they did differently, and it seemed like it was more open world than the other. But, like Stalker, for instance. Stalker, I fired up Call of Pripyat, which is the sequel to it, just so that I could see how it technically ran, and the whole intro basically tells you exactly what happened at the end of the first one. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, okay, well, that's the plot twist. Well, shit. Whatever, that's cool, because there's still a whole lot of that game left that I can still play and still enjoy, you know? Like, getting to that point is going to be fun. I won't get the revelation, though. But, I mean, there are other games like Bioshock Infinite that has a fantastic ending that I think everybody should experience.
Very poetically written game.
It's a, Yeah, and but you got things like Fallout 3. How long's that been out? Since 2007 or 8?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, guess what? There's a giant robot at the end. So there we go.
I think Trent and I are on the same page there. You know, most games, if it's been out a year, year and a half.
I say year and a half. It depends on, for me, it depends on the game.
It does. It depends on the game.
Like, for instance, it's like Bubble Bobble. Oh, my God. It goes down the drain at the end. I'll tell somebody that one in the first week.
Get some input from somebody that's not normally on the show. What do you think about it, Drew?
Well, I just think people don't want to be robbed of the experience. So I think it's personal to each individual. I mean, it depends on what they care the most about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, you could say there is a time frame, like, oh, it's been out for a really long time, but if it's something that they're like, oh, I meant to see that, I never did see it, or play it, you know.
But what about them searching it out? Like, they go and they read a review of the game, and they're reading a review, and they're like, oh, I mean, I think as long as something says, oh, by the way, spoilers.
Yeah. You know? I mean, if they're actually actively searching it out, then you shouldn't be disappointed if you read a spoiler, because it's your fault for going online and reading sources about it to begin with.
I type in no spoiler search bar as you're typing the thing, and you'll find pages that'll say no spoiler review. So you call yourselves gamers? Yeah, everybody knows that trick.
Well, and there's other things too, though. Like, I think, like we're saying, like, a game's been like almost like Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas are almost at classic status. Those games are dated.
All of Caesar's Army has butt sex. Big revelation there. You find that out at some point. So yeah, plot twist. Oops.
But, I mean, you go into, like, the things about Mr. House and things like that. I could say Mr. House, you know. And,
I forgot about that one. Yeah.
But, I mean, it's...
Oh, go ahead, say it.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter. But,
yeah, it doesn't matter.
Like, again, I'm skirting the edge because I'm afraid of getting trolled on our show for it, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, that's one of the things, like, I wonder about losing listeners because of minor spoilers. You know, and it irritates me to some extent because... You could have so many more game talks about things that you experience, but you'd have to skirt the edge with spoilers and such.
Yeah, I mean,
I think readers and listeners both need to realize that we have to tread that fine line, but there's no way you're going to get 100% spoiler-free review and get any beef from that review at all.
Yeah.
Well, and we've tried doing that, like being completely spoiler-free in a review, and you just end up reviewing the technical aspects. You can't talk about the plot. Mm. Like, it's nice to be able to talk about the talker or something like that a little bit, and just talk about what the plot points are, but I can...
No.
You know, I mean, there's still some major
plot
points.
It's like getting people excited, but not telling them anything unexpected.
You cock-tease them. But it's like, whenever you and I went to go buy Assassin's Creed 3, we were in there talking to the guy, and he said... Oh, yeah, by the way, when you get that first achievement, it's called How You Like Them Apples. He goes, by that point, you're going to love the game. He didn't tell us anything about it. We go in there, we get to that point, and oh, yeah, it's a huge plot twist within the first hour of the game.
Yeah.
It's massive, and you're just like, oh, wow, I didn't realize that
was
going
on. So, like,
that's
something that's still fairly new enough.
And we didn't talk about it. We mentioned to everybody when we play the
game,
oh, by the way, get that achievement. You don't have to do anything to do it. It's just part of the story. But when you get there, the story will have you by the balls at that point because it's just so good.
Oh, and it did, man.
Yeah,
it
just like, oh, I did not see that fucking coming. You know, and then when you get to the end, you're just like, oh, Jesus Christ, that's fucked up. You know, and it's fantastic. And that's as much as we talked about on it. We didn't really go into anything else. We did talk about how when you start the game, the person you're playing is not who you play later on in the game. Which you can tell that by looking at the fucking previews. You can tell it's not the same guy, so that's not a spoiler.
Yeah.
But I know some people who are reading reviews were calling that a spoiler. No, that's not a spoiler. That's just
that was
tell
in
that
game
by
trailers.
Using your fucking brain that that's not the same fucking guy.
That Connor is not the same.
Yeah, Connor is not fucking Haythorn. You know that. You start off as Haythorn, you switch over to Connor. Who's Connor? We don't tell you. Nobody tells you. A couple reviews did tell people, but that's on them, not on us. We just told people you don't play that guy. I think with Dead Space 2, we said, oh, you go to the Ishimura. That was in the fucking previews for the game that they returned to the Ishimura. Some people threw a fit about that. I'm not going to say who, but they threw a fit. I'm like, did you watch any of the fucking trailers? They show the Ishimura in the fucking trailers.
Well, that's the point where if you want to not spoil something, don't. You don't want to spoil it for yourself. Don't watch anything. Don't read anything about it.
Completely unplug.
Blacklist yourself from any kind of information. Yeah. Like, if you're hyped about something, you're going to spend the money regardless. Just do that. Don't worry about
Like, I knew it was going to be a while before I could get into Infinite.
Yeah.
So, I haven't looked at anything.
No. And you really shouldn't, to be honest.
Well, and Infinite did a smart thing, and I think I'm starting to piece together why they do it. Because I was talking about how all the trailers for Bioshock Infinite, none of that is actually in the game.
Yeah.
The shit where she's on the noose and on the horse, that is not in the fucking game. And I think that's why they do it, is to kind of trick you a little bit. Because I used to think it was like they had an idea, they're just showing what they could do with this game, and they just liked it enough to keep it. I think it's more they actually do it so that people think that's going to be the game, then they get there and realize that's not in the game. It's kind of a little cock-tease twist around. But, nipple pinch. But, donkey punch. But I think it's... it's one of their strategies with doing it, so they show shit that's not going to be there. The graphics are just as good, so they can't bitch about that. It's just that little twist is not in there. And what I do is when the game comes out, like Alien Colonial Marines,
they teased you.
That's not a good example. Metro. I'm not going to buy Metro tonight. I'm not going to buy it. Maybe not even this month. I really want to play it, and because of that, if I get the urge to, oh, I'm sitting in front of a computer, I'm going to go look at some Metro stuff, I make sure that any article I click on or any video I click on was uploaded before the fucking game came out. So that way I'm not looking at anything that came out
afterwards. Well, and I've looked at, like, the first 10 minutes of Metro, the first 30 minutes of this area, or, like, there's been a lot of previews. Like, I don't mind, like, minor spoilers, like, things that are happening.
And none of those...
So I watched a big monster fight in there that I didn't know was going to happen, but I'm okay with it because that kind
of
stuff doesn't affect me.
And
well, it's like watching...
It doesn't affect the story. It doesn't
affect
the
story. Watching the first 30 minutes of Skyrim.
Yeah.
You know, I literally watched the first 30 minutes of Skyrim just to
and
see
Skyrim,
whether or not that was going to be an
you
Elder
can
Scrolls
see in
that I pick
minutes,
up.
I spent over 140 hours in that game.
Yeah.
30 minutes is not going to be shit.
No. But it convinced me to pick up Skyrim.
Yeah,
the crazy thing is, I watched off and on all day the day after it came out, and we couldn't play because we were going to a wedding. But I watched off and on like 12 hours of Skyrim.
Yeah.
Just a live stream, some new planet.
Yeah.
And I watched, I had no problem with, I was like, this isn't really going to be, it's just gameplay.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there might be some plot twists or whatever, but...
But is curiosity killed the cat, is what it basically comes down to. If you're curious enough to go look at something...
Don't be upset when you run across something you didn't want to.
It's like when you go into your sister's room to go find her stash of money she made at her part-time job and you find pictures of her nudity that she sent to her boyfriend. Yeah, you're fucked at that point, but you led yourself there. It's your fucking fault.
This person from personal experience?
No. You should have put your blinders on and been like, okay, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to go in there and look. Yeah, that's what it is. If you're going to go look for reviews after a game comes out, make sure you type in no spoiler review name of game. That's the number one way to pull up because smart people who write reviews tag no spoilers into their fucking articles because people specifically search for those, so it gets them more hits and it helps you limit what you're actually seeing. And you can do the little bracket thing on there to where it keeps no spoiler as a combined word rather than separating no and spoiler, so it actually looks for something that has no spoiler next to each other. And that'll help you find reviews that aren't going to spoil anything. As well as videos, you'll find ones that say no spoiler video, where it shows basically just gameplay, anything that might have been shown as a tech demo or a preview at like E3 or PAX or whatever. But if you just go willy-nilly all over the internet,
you're going to run into spoilers.
Yeah, you're going to get disappointed. You're going to find out that fucking Vader was Luke's dad, or that he got his hand cut off, his face all bitched up. So you're going to find out that stuff.
Wait, what, really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
She's like, what?
I'm still on A New Hope.
It's not possible!
That's just something I wanted to bring up, because after reading that and then seeing the vehement trolling that guy got for writing that review, it came from a website that I don't usually like reading from, but that being said, parts of it were a legitimate point. That was the part that I brought out of it was...
Yeah.
Is there a legitimate time frame or no? And then just seeing, like, how upset, like, the guy posted it at, like, say, 9 o'clock this morning, and then by 10 o'clock, you already had, like, 1,500 comments. I'm just sitting there going,
I think you touched on the point, though, when you use the word trolling. And that's my big thing is we live in a me culture where everybody's just, it's all about me. If you go off and you say, oh, I think baby pictures are ugly, you're going to have every fucking mom on your friends list bashing you for saying that baby pictures are ugly. and how, oh my God, I can't believe that you think that my baby's ugly. So I didn't say your baby, I just said baby pictures are ugly. And I've seen that happen. It happens. I've seen that happen. And that's how it is. If I go and I post a review, if I go and post an article about anything or complain about something, every person on my list who that it doesn't even relate to is going to throw their two cents in about how it does relate to them when it doesn't.
Sometimes you might allude to something that may be pivotal in a game.
Yeah.
To, as a reviewer, sometimes you have to do that to be able to give your honest opinion.
Yeah. It's like, am I throwing a spoiler out there when I say, like, oh, yeah, this Final Fantasy game has a wedge in it?
Yeah.
Because every fucking Final Fantasy game has a wedge in it. Not almost everyone has a Cid, but every one of them has a fucking wedge in it. There's always a wedge. And that's kind of the fucking joke behind it, is that it's always some dorky, shitty character. You know?
Yep.
In Part 8, he was a porn addict, you know?
You're right.
And that's how it goes. Is that a spoiler? If I go, like, oh, by the way, this one does have a wedge in it, they go, spoiler! And I'm like, really? Really? How many games? I have to use two hands to count. You're calling it a spoiler. There's a city called Calm, by the way, too. Just like there's a... Is that a spoiler? Oh, yeah. Shiva's there. Odin. They're in every fucking game.
Bahamut.
He's
in all of them.
And people throw fits over these little tiny things because they're like, well, I didn't know that. And you're like, only you.
Yeah.
You look at the 20 game previews that come out for this game, they've shown it. It's there. I'm sorry if blacklisted everything because you're like, well, I don't even want to see game trailers. If it's in a game trailer and I bring it up and you call it as a spoiler, I'm going to call you a fucking retard. And not in the sense that you have chromosome problems, but just that you are fucking socially retarded.
You know, there were a couple of smaller game review sites that got crap over Assassin's Creed 3 because they probably said a few words many.
Yeah, no, they said, even in my opinion, they said way too much about the intro, so.
But it was one of those things that, with Assassin's Creed 3, that it was easy to do.
Yeah.
You know, we knew 6 months in advance that there were going to be two different characters you played through.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science. Yeah. It was just how they were going to transition it, and that's what gave us the great twist.
Yeah. And people, like I said, it's just people who throw these huge fits about whatever, and it's crap that has been common knowledge since the game was even announced that, oh yeah, by the way, this is going to be in there, but they don't pay attention to anything. They're like, oh, well, I'm just going to wait for it to come out. Well, you're going to wait for it to come out. Everybody else is going to read everything they can about it, and whenever somebody brings up something that was already mentioned, you're going to throw a fit about it. It just makes you look stupid.
Yeah.
It makes you look misinformed or just uninformed, and it makes
you look stupid. Face it. People nowadays will bitch about anything.
Oh, yeah. They bitch about everything, yeah. Anyways, that's my two cents, though.
Yeah.
As far as time is concerned, I really think it's irrelevant. I think it just depends on the person and what they value the most.
No, yeah, but when we have to look past that, because we don't know everybody that listens to
the show. That's true. I mean, if you're talking, in general public, then
yeah. We're talking about just generalized. So
yeah,
okay. Say a year and a half to a
year. And a half.
Maybe even a year for some time. Like, Bioshock Infinite... Like I said on the break, I will never tell anybody the ending of that game unless they're a non-gamer. Or I just know they're never going to play it, but they want to know what's going to happen.
Right.
But they're never going to play it. It's not their kind of game. So I'll tell them, okay, this is what happens. If it's something like Assassin's Creed 3, as much as I like that one, same story. If it's something like Deus Ex, there's not really any huge plot twist in that. It's just a story.
Yeah.
You can tell somebody that story if you're trying to get them interested. Be like,
and it's not going to ruin their gameplay.
No, because it's all about the journey, in my opinion. I mean, I don't like to hear about... Unless it's a movie I really have no interest in seeing, I don't care about hearing the ending. If it's a movie I really want to see, then I might be a little hesitant. Because even though somebody can describe to me what their perception of what happened was, it's not always exactly what happened.
Unless it's just black and white.
Yeah. And if it's black and white. Like, for instance, Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy.
Yeah.
That movie's a little confusing at times because they don't really give you a time frame for anything. What's flashback, what's not. Although you can kind of pick up after a while.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of unspoken shit that goes on.
Were
those two guys really fucking each other?
That one was actually one of the first ones in a long time. I actually went ahead and watched it a second time just to catch
The little subtle thing. Once you knew where it was going. Yeah, and that's kind of how that movie is the person I watched it with after I had seen it, I already figured it out after the first watch. I was like, okay, here's because I read the book and all that. I was like, okay, so this is how they did this stuff. She, though, was like, I have to watch this like 3-4 times. I was like, that's fine. Yeah, that's kind of how it is because there's little subtle things you pick up.
I read the book, but it was years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So watching it a second time was needed, but...
But that's a good example of it's a matter of perception with some things. Like, even BioShock Infinite could actually be taken as a matter of perception or your interpretation of it because it tries to define a few things for you, but it opens up a whole world of possibilities.
Or, like we talked a few weeks ago off air about Prometheus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Prometheus.
A lot of people's perceptions of it was a whole lot different than the super nerds like you and me who actually got.
Yeah. Well, one, because I know the Bible shit they're referring to in it.
Right.
And I actually know the mythos in the alien universe that it's supposed to follow, so I know what they're referencing in certain parts, like the altar room, the godheads, the urn.
And so for us, we got a whole lot more out of that
movie
than a lot of other people do.
That movie is epically profound, but it's only for the people who actually like have like giant alien statues in their room and fucking watch alien movies out of pure boredom because they love it. So, regular people.
Except for Insurrection or Resurrection. I watch that movie.
I call that one anal penetrate. That's what
I
mean.
I do have a question, though.
Yeah.
All right, so you guys are saying a year and a half for spoilers, right?
In general, since we don't know everybody or their perception of what's important to them, I'd say year and a half to 2 years, because at that point there's probably a sequel already about to come out. Or
yeah, that's what I was about to say, because like, what about like Riptide?
And it's gotten,
you know, like the first Dead Island's like a year, year and a half old, but then now Riptide comes out. Now there are new interests in it, so I mean, people are like, well...
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, it's soon enough now that if I can avoid it, I don't want to give away the ending per se for Dead Island, or I wouldn't for someone who hasn't picked it up yet.
Yeah.
Right.
They intend to play it, they just haven't picked it up. I'm not going to tell them that. But for general audience, at this point, I would say Dead Island 1, it's free game.
Yeah, it's free game because it's been out long enough.
It's been out long enough. It's cheap
like
enough.
2033. I mean, like, I've been trying to sell people in the game, but I mean, it's...
Yeah.
You hear it from any other cast that talks about the end of it, it's open game at this point. I mean, it's been out since, what, 2009?
Yeah, but also it's a book, too. It's a thing.
Yeah.
So it's fucking everywhere. But
at this point, that one would be completely open. The new one's out now.
It's like the Avengers. The movie The Avengers, they win at the end.
Yeah.
If you didn't know that, I'm sorry, but they won.
For two, it...
Yeah.
As good as the ending was as far as story-wise and being able to expand that game franchise, it's not like an earth-shattering ending. You know, it's kind of normal zombie outbreak-type ending, so...
But for Dead Island 1?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, it's just... Well, it's that open-ended, where's this gonna go? You know, it's strange company. It's strange company is what it is, because the end of the game is they put you in strange company, and they just say... That's the end, and you're like, well, what the fuck's going to happen? And then Riptide comes out and picks up right after that. So, and to be honest with you, there's a lot of people who don't play the first game.
Yeah.
They'll play the sequel. They'll be like, okay, well, that looked cool, but I wasn't too interested. But the new one just came out. So, oh, wow, that's brand new.
You know what? And if you're worried about story spoilers, at this point, that game is cheap enough. You should be able to go pick it up along with Riptide, play it.
Well, if you bought it on Steam, you got the Game of the Year edition for free.
Yeah.
So, you know, Rider White DLC included. So, but yeah, that's a spoiler thing, basically. But I'm the same person. On the other side of the coin, though, I'm that guy who, if there's a 1950s movie I like a lot, and I'm trying to get somebody to watch it, I won't tell them a fucking thing about it. You know. And that's because I'm trying to get them to watch it, because movies are a totally different thing.
Yeah.
Games are 12-hour experiences you're digging into. Movies are an hour and a half to 2 hours long. It's not that much time.
And we get the same way with games, like with the Assassin's Creed series. If you haven't played it yet...
I will not tell you shit.
I will not tell you shit.
I'll tell you the general idea of being able to take memories and reconstruct, you know, ancestral lives from them and be able to
and learn from it.
That's all.
That's all.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to tell you what happened in Revelation.
It was a fucking sci-fi game when I got into it.
Yeah, no. That was the big shocker as you get into it. And here you are, and you're playing this game, and then you come out of this machine, you're like, what the fuck? What the fuck's Abstergo? And you're just like, what the hell's this machine? Who the hell's this Italian guy? And then you're like, oh, this is a science fiction game. I thought this was a medieval guy. Oh, whatever. And then you're just like, that's fucking cool.
Which was freaking genius.
Yeah, and it kept the vibe with both, though. When you're inside the Animus, at first it's all, you're like, this is pretty badass medieval. There's all this weird glittery shit going on. This is pretty cool. Then you come out, and it's a sci-fi element. Then when you go back in, it's medieval sci-fi. So you're like, nice. So
yeah.
It's a good tincture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways. So, is that it for your news and your question and all
that's
that?
That's pretty much everything.
All right. Yeah. So rephrase that question, because it was about 30 minutes back for people.
What we want to say, what's the timeline for a spoiler, or what?
Just how do you feel about spoilers? Just make it easy.
Yeah.
How do you feel about game spoilers?
We'll say, based on what we've seen other people talk about on other websites.
I didn't say based off our discussion, how do you feel about spoilers?
Oh, no, on that, but based on what we've seen, though, with all this stuff, you know, our question is, yeah, what is the timeline on spoilers? And we say, I say a year and a half to 2 years.
I'm the same.
About that.
Yeah.
About that.
I say a couple years unless the sequel's coming out right away, so I'd rather... Mm. So like with Metro, I probably wouldn't say anything about the first game right now because people are getting ready to jump into Last Light.
Yeah. I think with me and him, it's more of a... It can't be really generalized, though. Some games we will never tell anybody anything about. We'll tell them the basic idea. But then most games like Dead Island or whatever will tell them, it's just a zombie game. Zombie game, dude.
Yeah.
Big spoiler.
Left 4 Dead, no spoilers.
There's no story, really. You know?
Right.
Hey, Bill dies.
Portal has some pretty cool stories.
Portal 1 really doesn't have too much of a story because it was just kind of what it was. Portal 2, though, that's got more story. Half-Life 2, Half-Life 1 even, you know, just leave
it. That's another thing, so, again, just reiterating that. If you like Half-Life 2, if you like the setting, you should play Stalker.
Yeah.
Really reminds me of
Half-Life. City 17, or whatever,
Yeah, it's fucking cool. Anyways.
But yeah, that's pretty much, That's kind of where I think it's not a one golden rule. It's...
Yeah.
General games like Left 4 Dead, Dead Island are kind of free for all a year and a half. Then there's others that we just won't ever
touch. There's those epic storytelling games that, I'm not going to tell you shit about it.
It's like Skyrim, to be honest with you. If I tried to go in and tell somebody the story, I'd just get lost. So I'm like, I don't remember what was side quest, side story, and what was actual story. After 170 hours, you just kind of forget. So you get Alzheimer's. But anyways. So, that was pretty much our question. And what's coming up for games? You got anything?
Well, this week, by the time you're listening to this, Metro will be out.
It's actually already out.
Huh?
Sorry, it's already out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Should go set it for download.
They already downloaded.
Oh, sweet. There you go. Preload.
I was actually going to try to play a couple minutes of that after this.
I like to preload a lot.
Sure you do.
In my socks. I like to feel it between my toes.
It's all crusty.
Yeah, that's PS3 Network, though.
When your feet sweat, it always stays moist.
Super Ghouls and Ghosts on Wii U Network.
That actually sounds like fun. I love Ghouls and Ghosts.
I almost would buy that if I didn't already spend money.
Yeah.
Mario 2 is going to be on Wii U. Next week, Resident Evil Revelations, an unveiled edition on the 21st.
On Steam.
Everything, except for Wii. Oh, wait, no, it's coming out on Wii U. I'm sorry.
Nice.
Call of Juarez Gunslinger is going to come out on PC, and it's like $15. And then War Games, Heirloom Battle, The Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing on PC.
Mm. That actually looks pretty damn fun.
Yeah, that looks fun.
That's overhead fucking Diablo-style game.
It
actually looks really good.
And nothing for a couple weeks, so I'm going to have to play... Remember Me comes out June 4th.
Oh, yeah, that actually, that's a Sega franchise, isn't it?
Yeah, and then nothing for a while. So, it's not... Marvel Heroes comes out on PC. It was an open beta. I forgot to say something about that. But, anyways, there's not a whole lot coming out for at least a month, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
We'll just have to revisit a bunch of stuff, to be honest.
We're probably going to be July before anything big really starts.
Well, at the end of this, by the end of this month, we have the new Xbox to talk about for a while. That'll keep us interested as they start to release more of the lineup for release, as well as more specs after the 21st, and then we do have The Last of Us coming out as well. So, yeah, like you said.
Yeah.
So, there's just not a lot coming out, but I mean, I got plenty to keep it busy. I got to beat 2 Stalker games.
I started playing that Lucius game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used telekinesis to slam a fucking, you have to slam a flower pot or something. It is interesting. It's interesting. Then I locked a maid in a freezer and let her freeze to death.
Nice.
That they told me to. I didn't do it by choice.
So with that, I don't have a whole lot else. I just have shout-outs.
Yeah, go ahead, man. We're good.
Yep.
All right. CarouselPodcast.com for the love of gaming. ElseWorldsPodcast.com. BMFcast.com, NoQuarters.net, and TVGP.TV to do good things. Find us on Facebook.com/Chillcast, Twitter.com/Chillcast, iTunes, search Chillcast, Stitcher, search Chillcast. Find us on our website at Chillcast.com. Email us at tbag@tokast.com, and I'm fading fast.
He's getting tired.
Wow. Justin's passing out in front of our eyes.
He needs like a giant ranch or something like that.
Yeah, it's late. So anyways.
Memories of Rex without the alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah, no alcohol. I even got an energy drink. I'm getting tired.
I got some cocaine in the fridge. the energy drink, not the powder.
So we good?
Yeah.
All right, see you guys later.
Yeah, bye.